Baron Mulberry. Film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
Where's Pancake's house?
What?
We stop at Pancake's house.
What are you, nuts? We have pancakes for breakfast. Gotta go to a place where I can get a shot and a beer and steak, maybe. Not more for pancakes. Come on. Oh, come on, man. Okay, here's an idea. We can stop outside of Brainerd and then we'll place there we can get laid. What do you think?
I'm fucking hungry now, you know.
Yeah, Jesus. I'm saying we can stop, get pancakes, and then we'll get laid, all right?
I'd like a plain omelet, no potatoes, tomatoes instead, a cup of coffee, and toast.
No substitution.
What do you mean, you don't have any tomatoes?
Only what's on the menu. You can have a number two, a plain omelet. It comes with cottage fries and rolls.
Yeah, I know what it comes with, but it's not what I want.
Well, I'll come back when you make up your mind.
Wait a minute. I have made up my mind. I'd like a plain omelet, no potatoes on the plate, a cup of coffee, and a side order of wheat toast.
I'm sorry, we don't have any side orders of toast. I'll give you an English muffin or a coffee roll.
What do you mean you don't make side orders of toast? You make sandwiches, don't you?
Would you like to talk to the manager?
Hey, Mac.
Shut up. You've got bread and a toaster of some kind?
I don't make the rules.
Okay, I'll make it as easy for you as I can. I'd like an omelet, plain, and a chicken salad sandwich on wheat toast. No mayonnaise, no butter, no lettuce, and a cup of coffee.
A number two, chicken salad sand. All the butter, the lettuce, and the mayonnaise, and a cup of coffee. Anything else?
Yeah, now all you have to do is hold the chicken, bring me the toast, give me a check for the chicken salad sandwich, and you haven't broken any rules.
You want me to hold the chicken, huh?
I want you to hold it between your knees.
You see that sign, sir? Yes, you all have to leave. I'm not taking any more of your smartness and sarcasm.
You see this sign?
Hello, pretty lady. Tell me something. What's a beautiful broad like you doing with a malacca like this, huh?
It's purely sexual.
No shit.
She's into malaccas, Dino.
She's into malaccas. Do you believe that?
You can say that again.
My brother, Harold, asked me to be the best man at his wedding. I was like, oh, of course, man. Because you've always been there for me. Like when I was in rehab. And like the time I couldn't find my car. Because Harold, you know, he's always been the dependable one. And I've always been the screwed up one. Right, Dad? Why can't you be more like your brother? Harold would never beat up his landlord.
He's drunk as shit.
But, little newsflash. Harold ain't so perfect. Remember that time in Puerto Rico when we picked up those two, well, I guess they were prostitutes, but I don't remember paying.
You're a moron!
Okay. The best man, everybody.
Best man. The better man.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. Hey. Woo-hoo. It's time for Nowhere Mulberry. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it, right here, right now, at nimchat.com, 9, 8 central, every week. Every Friday, at least. Well, sometimes. Sometimes we take a week off here and there, you know. We don't really have a boss, so we can do whatever we want, right? But, hey.
You can tell us what to do.
I don't want to skip any shows, Steven. I want to get to that 190, you know, as soon as possible. We've been in the 180s for forever, it seems like. So we got to get this stuff going. I am the J-Strom. Welcome to our humble show. I am a co-host of this show where we talk film, television, pop culture, as I already mentioned. And I do it with Steven, the pop culture zealot.
Hey.
Hey, Steven. How's it going?
Good.
We also have an ill, not as a license to ill, but a sick. It's Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian, yeah. Bill.
I like when my voice is like this. I can sound all creepy.
Yikes. Hey, Bill, I'm sorry you're not feeling well, buddy.
Thanks.
But thanks for joining us on the show. It's awesome.
I'll see how much I can participate.
Yeah, you know, you can just sit, chill out, hang back, and if we hear you snoring or something, I'll...
Oh, no, that won't happen.
I'll have Foggy play a
drop for
you.
That's Steven's territory, strictly.
Yeah, don't tread on my territory.
Exactly.
Oh, you don't want to step on his toes there. We'll see what's going on there. But, Bill, I'm so sorry you're not feeling well. Hopefully, you can chime in from time to time, or just do that laugh you were doing at any time. That'll be good.
Okay.
And, you know, since you're not feeling well, I figured, you know, we won't do the news like we usually do. So where you have to read news stories and stuff, or you don't even have to do the DVDs if you don't want. I printed up a big list of the DVDs, and I could ruin that segment if you want.
It's up to you, man.
I figured with the news...
We'll see how you feel. How about that, buddy?
Yeah, we'll see how you feel by then.
Buddy.
With the news...
I feel so cared for.
Pampered. Yeah, and with the news, I figured what we'll do is we'll talk about this late-night fiasco in NBC with the Conan and Jay Leno and all that crap. We need to cover that on one big news segment, I think, and I have clips of the different goings-on, and we'll do that instead of reading news stories this week. That might be cool. And we'll have a good time, and we might even open up the phone lines. You know, we will open up the phone lines at one point in the show. I'm going to say right after we're done with Friday Night Lights, we'll open up the phone lines and go into talking about the NBC fiasco. And anyone could call in if they want. I'll release the number over Facebook. And, Bill, if you don't mind typing the number into the chat room also. Anybody can call in with anything you want to talk about, honestly.
I'm actually having a hard time getting into the chat room tonight.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's something with my computer, something with Java. I might try and reinstall it and see if I can get in.
With that there, Java?
Java.
Sweet. All right, so let's get rolling with the show. And we always start that, Steven, with voicemail. Mm-hmm. So let's, we have quite a few voicemails, so let's check it out. Our first one is from Noel. Let's hear from Noel.
Hey, Mulberry folks, it's Noel over here in Manchester in the UK. Just wanted to drop you a line to wish you a belated Happy New Year and also just pop in and say hello, really. I won't be doing the late night live chat room thing this week, as when you lot get started, I'll probably either be stumbling home drunk or I'll already be asleep face down in the snow outside my flat with my trousers around my ankles. However,
snow
I did
angel.
Want to ask one question, following on from a couple of tweets from Bill the other week regarding Doctor Who. Basically, I was wondering what he or any of the rest of you, for that matter, that might have watched it, thought about the recent two-part Christmas special. I know Bill's something of a self-confessed Anglophile, and I have to say it was a big part of the BBC's sort of festive schedule this year. The thing is, I've always avoided Doctor Who in the past because well, quite frankly, it can be difficult enough sometimes to get girls to sleep with you without introducing the fact that you're into Doctor Who. You know, you can just end up making things a touch harder by doing that. So, yeah, but a few months ago, quite by accident, I caught the episode where Christopher Eccleston's Doctor was killed off and David Tennant emerged as his replacement. Now, to be honest, I'd really been enjoying that particular episode anyway, and then when Tennant showed up, I was completely sold on it. I really kind of got into it. So this year I was definitely looking forward to this Christmas two-parter. But when it arrived, I have to say I was pretty disappointed. I thought the writing was a bit shoddy. The whole regeneration thing was just really overplayed. I mean, David Tennant was great. John Sim, as always, was on top form as the Master. The whole thing just felt a bit sort of rambling. The story was kind of hollow and didn't really, didn't really work for me. So yeah, I was just wondering what your take on it was, and if there are any particular episodes that you know of that I should be checking out as kind of better examples of Russell T. Davies' work on the series. Any thoughts would be useful, so I can pick up the DVDs and stash them shamefully under my bed next to my copy of Cougars in Need and Swedish Nuns Hide the Sausage. So yeah, that was about it. Really. Anyways, as always, keep up the good work. For my money, you're still the most entertaining cast out there, and I expect that you'll retain the high standard that you've already set for yourselves during the rest of 2010. So yeah, much love.
Well, thanks, Noel. I appreciate that. And Bill, do you have an answer for him? Because I do not want to talk to you.
You know, I am an Anglophile. I've been suffering from Anglophilia since a young age. I think it's from PBS. You know, they would show the like British comedy shows and the, because they didn't have a big schedule. They would show it in the middle of the night.
Right.
So yeah. I would stay up and watch, like, Are You Being Served and Last of the Summer Wine.
Yeah, Since Forever.
Keeping Up Appearances, Red Dwarf.
Good Neighbors.
Yeah, Mr. Bean. God, there was so Blackadder, Father Ted.
There were so many
great shows.
The Two Ronnies.
What?
The Two Ronnies. I think we're showing our age here.
Yeah.
It was so many great shows that they would show in the middle of the night, and I think I prefer British comedy as opposed to anything else. They can keep the whole period dramas, Masterpiece Theater stuff. But as for Doctor Who, Russell T. Davies, this was his final episodes. He's passing it off to the best writer of the series, Stephen Moffat. And that's really who did the best episodes of Doctor Who during the Russell T. Davies series, Stephen Moffat. So I would recommend any episode written by him, and I would have to really kind of think about it, but I think my favorite Doctor was actually Christopher Eccleston. I wasn't a real big fan of David Tennant. I thought Eccleston brought a heavy gravitas to the role. But yeah, I'm a Who nerd. I'll follow it up with Noel on Twitter or on Facebook what I think the best episodes are.
Cool. Yeah, I never watched the new Doctor Who. When I was a kid,
never keep up with it.
Yeah, the Doctor Who when I was a kid was so just bad and cheesy and horrible.
Oh yeah, that's what was so great about it though.
You know what? I was always jealous of his super long muffler though. That thing around.
You watched the his name just went right in and out of my head.
The curly haired dude, he had kind of a fro.
Yeah, Tom Baker.
Yep. Right, yeah.
Yeah, he was the Doctor Who from the 60s and 70s.
It was all faded.
Or maybe
film
it was 70s
and
80s.
Color bled, you know, it just looked so bad.
It was at least in the 70s, maybe early 80s. Probably,
yeah, it was like 70, I think it was like early 70s to early 80s. He was the Doctor.
Nice.
But he was great. I mean, the ones before him, like John Pertwee and, who else was it? They were so proper, like prim and proper British. Yeah. Doctor Who's, whereas Tom Baker was just like a hippie Doctor Who. He was so out there.
I've seen some of those other series. What's that one where it was the spinoff of Doctor Who with the agents or whatever?
Torchwood.
Yeah, Torchwood. I've seen some episodes of that, and it's...
Yeah, that was Russell T. Davies' creation. See, you know, the one thing that annoys me about Russell T. Davies is he's gay, and he lets everyone know he's gay. Like, it's not... He's fine, he's gay. You know, be happy. You're a good guy. You're a pretty decent writer. You've come up with some great things. But in almost every episode of Doctor Who that he writes, he's got to, like, put a husband-husband relationship or a reference to someone being gay. And it gets to the point where it's become a game with Russell T. Davies episodes
to look for that.
To find the gay reference. It's really kind of funny.
Do you think that anyone who hasn't watched Doctor Who, could they jump on with, like, the Eccleston episodes?
Absolutely, yeah. That's like the first return of Doctor Who in
a
number
of
years.
I think
the last
couple years
before that, the last Doctor Who was a movie, and Eric Roberts played the Master.
Say what?
No, honestly, it took place in America. It was really, really terrible.
Wow, it sounds bad. Eric Roberts, good casting there.
Yeah, I think it was 1996.
Wow.
But it was really, really terrible.
Well, guys, we have another voicemail, this one from Adam. And thanks again, Noel. It's always good to hear from you from time to time. Let's see what Adam's got going on. What's this guy up to?
What's up, Nowhere in Mulberry? It's Adam from the Bay Area. Man, I miss you guys. It was good to listen to a new show this week. Hey, I'm listening to some Nowhere in Mulberry old school. I'm on episode 123. Just finished it. And you guys... Man, I'm a little out of breath. I just ran up the stairs there. So give me a second. Okay, anyways.
Is he pretending
speaking
to be me
out of breath,
walking at the airport?
Steven called in at the end of show 123. It's the one where... That's the episode where you kept playing the Gary Busey drop where he kept saying, like, I'm going to pull your increscent system, or I don't know what he's saying, out of your body. And it had his crazy laughter on the whole time. Anyways, episode 123 at the very, very end, it's like the longest show, or one of the longest shows, like 3 hours and some minutes. And Steven calls from the airport. He had just touched down, I guess. And the whole time, he's just really out of breath. And Jason, you guys keep saying, like, are you okay, Steven? Man, are you all right? And I was literally in the garage at work going through some tools and stuff, and I was, like, bent over laughing as hard as I could. It was hilarious because Jason just got really he just really got to him, and he was like, I don't know why this is so funny, but Steven, are you okay? And it was hilarious. So, hey, you know, even though that was a couple years back and you guys may not remember it, I figure I better call and let you guys know that it was really funny. And maybe
it wasn't
it's because
that
I listen to you guys
ago.
All the time and I kind of get the humor, too, of why you would think that
think
was funny, but I was dying. And then the funny thing is I ran upstairs to make the phone call, you know, to find a quiet place. And, man, running up them stairs, I ran out of breath, so I felt kind of bad for making the phone call of Steven when I just did the same thing.
I think
thing.
It was like a year ago.
So, anyways,
though,
hey.
It was something.
On. The show was awesome as usual, and I look forward to the next one. 200's creeping, man. It's coming. I'm very excited. All right, bye.
Thanks, Adam.
I know
creepy.
it was summertime because it was hot, and I'm totally...
We're on episode 188 right now, and that was 123. That was a long friggin' time ago. Think about it. We do 4 episodes a month, usually. So how many episodes is that? 23 to 88?
I'm no good with math.
I'm not figuring that out. You know what I'm saying?
No. That's my answer to you.
Gary Busey, what do you think of Avatar there?
Oh, that's neat. It's going to be 3D.
Perfect.
It already came out, though.
That is brilliant.
Now, Adam is talking about a time we called... Steven, you weren't on the show, so we called you, and you were at the airport walking to your car.
and I thought I was at the right area where my car was parked, and right. I was down at the next terminal.
And you were walking, and basically you were out of breath, so we were trying to talk to you on the phone, so it was just funny.
It's hot. It was hot outside.
The best moment was whenever he said, oh, I need to sit down.
Yeah. If people haven't heard that, and this is a good tie-in to Mulberry Old School, by the way. You could go and listen to that episode. If you go to Mulberry Old School on nowheremulberry.com, you'll find the link there on the right. And I talked about last week's episode at the very end of the episode that GCast, which hosts all the old episodes, is basically they're not letting anyone upload new shows by February 1st. And they're like, sorry. But, you know, existing shows, they will be okay. And I'm thinking, yeah, they'll be okay for how long, though, if you're not basically – if you're going out of business, basically. So I'm thinking the time is limited on those old school episodes. So what I'm saying now is go and download any episodes you have a desire to hear because they might be gone eventually. And like I said, that's 1 through 172 episodes on there plus all the after the shows and special Oscar shows and stuff. That's a lot of episodes, and I don't see me in the foreseeable future finding a new host and uploading that many files, okay? You know, maybe if someone requests a show, I might go looking for it and uploading it somewhere. But besides that, no, just go look now. And if you, you know, so people know what we're talking about. I made a little clip here of Steven walking in the airport. I thought we might revisit this.
Sure.
No, Steven?
Poor Steve.
Let's check this out. Steven, you do sound kind of strained. Are you okay?
Yeah, Steven sounds a little tired.
I'm obese and I'm not walking very far.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You're at the airport walking long distances. Now, Steven, I know you're completely out of breath, but tell me, what did you think of Iron Man? No, I'm kidding. It was when Iron Man was in the theater. Oh, hello?
It was excellent.
You know what? You better get off the phone with Steven before he has a heart attack.
We're going to hear a thud on the ground. Steven, hang in there, buddy.
God, I remember
I'm just
that
stopping
one.
For a second.
I'm just going to sit down and take a break.
I'm at the wrong terminal. I have to walk
Steven
around to
like
mine.
Me at the grocery store. All right. Where I am. What are we doing?
Let's see how late I come in.
Steven, you want to, yes?
You want to hang on the phone as we end the show?
Sure, go ahead.
I didn't have enough of Steven's breathing while he... So now we get, like, bonus material.
That is some heavy breathing.
Oh my god, why is it so far away?
This is hilarious.
Steven, you need to hop on the back of one of those go-karts that go around the airport.
Were you on a Bluetooth?
We don't have go-karts at that.
No, I was holding the phone.
Give you a ride on the little rascal things.
Yeah, see, I was going to call up the Shriners and see if they'll give you a ride.
I'm already outside. Oh. You have to be inside the terminal for the electric car.
Who killed the electric car?
Outside, it's
never mind. All right.
Outside, you gotta take the buses. But I'm at the right terminal. I'm just at the wrong end.
Steven, I want you to just start running while you're on the phone. I want to see how strained could this get.
Do you want me to die?
We're getting pretty close to it now.
I'm stopping.
I don't know why this is so funny to me. Steven Strain on the phone is cracking me up.
You hear the planes taking off?
No, but we hear you breathing.
Oh, that is like the truncated version. But if you want to go download 123, you can hear that at the end of the show.
Can you hear the planes? No.
Hear you breathing.
But that was good times. That was fun. And, you know, even Frayed Knot last year did a clip show that's on Mulberry Old School, where he mixed a bunch of different of his favorite clips from the show, and that was in there too. So check that out.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, so check that out.
I guess it was a while ago.
But it's always fun when Adam – see, I always complain that we don't get a lot of feedback, and it's true. We did it. A lot of shows we just do. We put them out, heard nothing, and then we just keep doing the show. You know, maybe somebody said, hey, funny show. But what I love about Adam is he calls in, he tells me, even if it's like a show from a long time ago, telling me what was specifically funny or something. And I love hearing that because it's great to hear what exactly entertained someone. You know,
definitely.
It's awesome. So we've got one more voicemail, and this is from Rick. Let's hear what Rick has to say about everything. Woohoo!
Yeah, here's another last bit of voicemail. So it might be quite short and poorly worded because I haven't thought of anything that I want to say, except for the fact that I'm not using my old microphone, and last week I wasn't smoking marijuana. You know, I was just a bit down. This week I'm a bit quiet because everyone's asleep. It's like 6 o'clock in the morning. And I thought, man, I better get up and send a voicemail before it's too late. So what have I been up to in the last week? Well, I've been playing Army of Two, the 40th day with my mate. Yeah, it's an awesome game.
New Army of Two.
You know, a lot of love in it. I don't know why, but I'm just a fan of the love all the time. It's pretty good. You know, you go up and you can hug your mate in the game if he does a nice headshot. Or if he pulls off a nice neck snapping move. He's like, yeah, man.
You can hug the other
well
guy.
Done. High five. Give me a hug. Oh, let's do rock, paper, scissors. Or just whatever you want. It's just a good fun game to play. So Army 240th day. If you want to play some co-op with a friend, just get into it because it's a top play. That's all I'm saying. And it's good to have some Fringe back. I've got this like website where I go and watch it all for free online. And, I went on there yesterday and I had two episodes. I'm like, oh, sweet, this is episode 11, episode 12. Sweet, I'll give it a watch. And, episode 11, I start watching. And then friggin' Charlie Francis shows up. I'm like, isn't he dead? What the hell are you on here? And like no one was directly talking to him for like the whole thing, and only like halfway through, like someone said "use" instead of "you," and I'm like, oh, they must know he's there. I was thinking it was some like crazy where she's just seeing him and talking to him and using her memories of him to help her. But it turns out it was just like an earlier episode that they just mistakenly put in. And I was like, oh, I just thought he was, I thought he wasn't there the whole time.
It confused the shit out of my dad, too.
He must be a ghost. But yeah. So, and then the next one, which didn't have him, was the normal one. I was like, oh, well, that kind of just messed me up a bit. I was starting to think there was more to it than that. But it wasn't. It's just a mistake with the thingamajig. Yeah, so. Fringe, good stuff. I enjoyed it, even though it was an older episode. I couldn't even tell, which is good, I guess. And my wife's brother from America came over for Christmas, and he just recently went back, and we decided to go visit him next year in America. So we'll probably might stop by next year in December. You know, if that's all right with you guys. You know, come and say, hi, oh, I'm Rick, this is my wife Ellie, I listened to your podcast, and now I came across the world, and I'm visiting you. And you'd be like, whoa, man, that's
trippy.
We'll
give you a cuddle.
Anyway, next year around Christmas, before Christmas, we're going to come to America, and we're planning it early so we can...
Which part of America? It's a
get it all
place,
set up
though.
And hopefully find some cheap flights before then. Anyway, have a great show, guys. I've got to go to boot camp now and do some crazy exercises and hurt myself. So, yous have a good show. This was Rick.
Yeah.
Rick from Australia. And this week I got nothing. I'm sorry. And I just listened back to this voicemail and I said, next December? I meant this December, 2010 December. It doesn't really make much difference, except by a whole year. But, you know, just thought I'd clarify it. All right, bye. See you later. Have a great show.
Well, thank you, Rick. That'll be great to see you here in America. So, wait, you're going to fly to... we all live in different spots. Bill lives in Ohio. Yeah. We live in Texas.
We might just have to get together.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
To fly Bill down.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And you know what? It's funny. The Fringe stuff I read about before it aired. I go, oh, cool. There's a new Fringe tonight. And it even said 2010. But I read about it in one of the many TV sites I did. And it said this was a lost episode from season one that they didn't even put on the DVD. So I was like, oh, okay. So it's an episode they didn't feel they should air. It didn't fit in with the continuity, or they just, it was a weak episode basically. And
it was a weak episode, but I think it had maybe had something to do with the whole Catholic angle. Maybe they were afraid to air it because of the Catholic Church, and they were already getting low ratings and didn't want to create any controversy or anything.
Was it some kind of Pope heavy month or something?
maybe
it was something happened or whatever, but
yeah.
But anyway, what I was thinking is it would be awesome if this was an alternate universe Fringe. You know what I mean? And it was like you would notice posters in the background of something like, remember they did the space shuttle before, or you would see that the World Trade Center still existed. Like, whoa, this isn't the same Fringe group from the show we watched. It's an alternate. But no, it was nothing like that. It was just a lost episode.
But that would have been great.
That would have been cool. They should do something like that. It's like, I don't remember Peter having an eye patch or that goatee. But still, nice. That's cool. It's great to hear from you, Rick. Thanks for calling in and all that. And if anybody would like to send us a voicemail, call 1-206-202-3491 or send us a voicemail or, you know, a recorded MP3 file at nimpodcast@gmail.com. Now let's check out what we have in entertainment. You know, there's something really sad that happened this week, and that's the Haiti earthquake. It's horrible. You know, it's just unbelievable footage on television, people, you know, dead bodies everywhere, children dead in the streets, just horrible thing. And
yeah, I turn it on if I want to laugh. It's really, really fun to watch.
Well, my family, we donated to the Red Cross because, I mean, that's just horrible. It looks, and I was thinking, it looks post-apocalyptic there.
It does, and
I keep seeing these commercials, The Book of Eli, and I was saying, you know, overly sensitive guy, I'm saying pull the Eli trailers off.
Really?
Yeah, none of that. I'm not offended by anything, but I'm like, it makes me think of that. Seriously, all the rubble and stuff. And
I see that, and it makes me think of Fallout 3.
No, you want to know what? I even saw a commercial, the Netflix commercial, where all different characters are in a classroom, and the guy's talking to them. They show this black zombie dude. It made me think of an Haitian person in the earthquake.
All right, you're too sensitive.
No, I'm not being sensitive. I'm just saying it reminded me of that. It didn't offend me or anything.
But you know what made me laugh? I'm watching TV, you know, sick, miserable in bed, flipping through, and one of the worst shows on television comes on, Inside Edition with Deborah Norville, and one of the promos was the hero star who gets to contact his family in Haiti, and I was like, the Haitian!
Oh, I didn't know he really was Haitian.
So actually Haitian.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot of Haitian Americans. And
from what I understand, they drive cabs in New York.
Well, I even read on, like, Facebook, you know, you have different friends somewhere. You know, one thing that's funny about Facebook is you see what people who are on your Facebook write about things. Sometimes, you know, they write their political beliefs or whatever, and you're just like, oh, whatever, because you just don't care.
Yeah, and then you hit hide.
You just don't care. But I, you know, a friend of mine that I know wrote something about, like, come on, do we really need more tax dollars going now to Haiti?
I know. I had the same thing happen.
And I was just kind of like, okay, dude, there's friggin' dead people, like their feet sticking out from crushed buildings like the Wicked Witch in Wizard of Oz, okay? There's probably people that are still barely alive underneath rubble, and there's no type of authority to help them. Yeah. And you're saying, I don't want my tax dollars. You know, don't worry about your little tax dollars, all right?
Yeah. It's that ignorant disconnect that some people have, like, oh, we've got plenty of problems in our country. We need to fix them first. No, you know what? If something happened here, like, say, something like 9/11 again, I would hope that other countries would say, hey, let us help you out.
Yeah, why?
It's just common. It's common humanity,
yes,
courtesy. Just
that's what the only way I could explain it is it's humans helping other humans. These people are in need, and it it's just like I would. What if something horrible
not
happened?
Humans helping other humans. That's what your charity is. Humans helping other humans.
Right.
Okay. And I'm not against the government helping, you know, giving a handout. That's fine because you're right. You need enforcement over there because, you know, looting and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, you're going to need some army over there to help out.
Well, I don't even know about looting or anything.
Yeah, it's
just
not like we're giving them $1 trillion to rebuild the country.
Right, it's just that there's people with nowhere to go, and it's – but
yeah, but a government helping another government isn't people helping people. Us – In the general populace is giving your money, $5, $10, $1, whatever, people helping people.
Right.
I just want to kind of – I don't know if that's a difference or
– Well, I think also when our government relief isn't just the military going there, it's them sending supplies and stuff like that. But,
yeah, and
you know,
also they're doing the they're sending – I think I read one of the airlines were taking doctors over for free.
Right, right. And you know when it's just when I read
aid from our government, not,
right? But what I'm saying is when I read somebody and they say like, "Hey, why are we wasting our time doing this?" It's just like, "Come on, like what?" And you know it's funny is I even remember Avatar reviews. This is how my mind works. I'm in and out of reality. Okay, that's how my mind works. People saying there's no way humans would treat an alien species like that. It's like we treat ourselves like that. Give me a break. You know what?
Yeah. We
treated the Native Americans like that.
It's like, don't give me that crap. But anyway, that's when I'm dealing with reality now. Let's get back into the Book of Eli.
Nice segue, huh?
The Book of Eli is directed by the brothers Hughes and, you know, Dead Presidents, Menace to Society and all that. What was the last movie? They did From Hell with Johnny Depp.
Yeah, I really liked From Hell.
And, you know, I'm a sucker for post-apocalyptic movies. I'd like to check it out. It's got Gary Oldman. Love the Gary Oldman. So I think, you know, I'll definitely want to check that out. But also, there's this abomination that was released. I mean, my God. And, you know, every time I've been to the theater the last three or four times, this trailer has been in front of the movie Spy Next Door with Jackie Chan, where he's a secret agent live-in nanny. Wow. That's all I have to say.
I have a spy from China on loan to America.
No, he's a nanny, isn't he? Isn't he taking care of them?
No,
he's a babysitter.
What I understood was, and maybe I'm wrong, the way I saw the trailer was like, okay, the parents had to leave. Okay, leave him with the next door neighbor to watch. He's the next door neighbor.
He's the spy next door. I got it. Okay.
No, I think it's.
I stand corrected, Steven. I apologize. I got it wrong, man. What do you want?
I mean, that makes sense. The spy next door.
Well, God
I think
damn.
It's like he's protecting someone. I
right.
don't know.
But, okay, whatever.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It looks stupid.
It doesn't look stupid. It looks like an abomination, Bill. Something that should not have been made. In fact, I'm pretty sure it caused the earthquake in Haiti.
Yeah, it's that coupled with the Tooth Fairy.
There you go.
The Tooth Fairy, yeah. Oh, my God. Which is going to be worse? Wow.
You're a moron.
It's like I told you earlier. That's the Sophie's Choice of
I asked you. I said, Bill, which looks worse, the Asian guy next door or the Tooth Fairy?
I believe they both sold their soul to the devil, and he's coming.
Not even the devil would inflict that much pain.
Well, now, what is Dwayne The Rock Johnson doing? Or he's just Dwayne Johnson now?
Well, obviously he did. He must have signed some sort of Disney deal, right? And you know, he produced so many movies.
You know what's funny is one night I was really bored. I think it was last Friday after the show, and my wife went to sleep early, and I was like, "Hey, I'm going to do the Netflix streaming thing," you know. And I got to tell you honestly, it's really cool when you first get it, but you don't watch half the shit that's on there. You just turn it off.
No.
But the Escape from Witch Mountain with The Rock was on there, and I was like, "Hey, I'm going to watch this." I got like 10 minutes into it. I was like, "I'm just going to go to bed."
I watched that scene with the guys dressed up as stormtroopers saying there's a sci-fi convention in town in the movie.
I didn't get that far.
Yes.
Oh, how do you know, Steven?
I watched the whole thing.
Well, nice.
I don't make the rules.
Awesome.
You know what? I gotta say, the PS3 Netflix streaming, holy shit, is that slow.
Really? I haven't ever had a problem with it. You mean
it's so slow to load up the menus.
Oh, the menus.
And stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's slow to load up the menus, but it plays fine once you hit play.
Oh, yeah, it plays fine, but holy shit, to get to playing, it takes forever, it seems. I guess I'm just spoiled. I'm used to the Roku and the Xbox 360.
Right. All right, guys, let's check out What's on our TiVos! Now let's talk about Lawman with Steven Seagal. This week's episode dealt with Nutria. Have you ever heard of them? Nutria? Those they're like badger type rodents in
Yeah,
and they burrow in and they're destroying all the levees and stuff, and it was funny.
They caused Katrina, actually.
Yeah, they caused a lot of weakening of all the levees and stuff, and this guy calls in, you know, the authorities with Steven Seagal. He shows up too. Hey, he showed up at my house.
No, he actually just called Steven Seagal.
Hey, dude, Steven, check this out.
I need you to judo chop some nutria,
and
man.
And it would drive me nuts because his backyard is like collapsing into the levee because these things are in there. And they tell him basically that the only thing, you know, traps and stuff don't really work. So we shoot them. We go out at night, and SWAT goes out there at night, and they drive around in trucks, and they have their rifles,
Get
and they're just
sniper rifles out.
Yeah, and they're picking them. Are they like pellet guns or something?
They're probably 22s.
22s, because they're so quiet, and they're picking off these nutria. And of course, Steven Seagal, he doesn't believe in. He's a Buddhist. He doesn't believe in killing another creature unless it attacks him first, or some kind of some kind of Rastafarian or something. But but these little guys, and they're not rat looking or anything. They look kind of cute, don't they? And they're like swimming in the water. Headshot. That's crazy. But you know, in between that kind of stuff, every Lawman episode is mapped out the same way. It's what they're doing in their off time and what they do on the job, right? And from one thing, do you believe that Steven Seagal hangs out with all his partners out of work?
Hell no.
Like, all the time?
No.
This is on Saturday or something. I don't know. Or no, it's like a Tuesday because they probably work over the weekend in their late night shifts or whatever. But they pull over these really, really drunk, are they Hispanic people? I couldn't tell what they were, but they had this weird shit in a bottle. Did you see this? They pull out of this bottle and they're like, what the hell is this? Like, what is in this bottle? And they keep looking at it and shaking it around, and they're trying to translate. They can't figure out what this shit is. And let's check this out. I thought it was funny how they were, like, just so puzzled by this.
What is that? Peppers?
Peppers.
Can't stop.
Is that hot dogs or something?
Let me look in here. What is it? I'm going to tell you in a minute.
The Steve Jobs.
Marijuana. Marijuana, pura. Marijuana. Get the marijuana.
I wouldn't sniff it, Chief.
It's like some kind of unusual substance that's actually inside the bottle. Some type of whatever. We don't know what it is.
Tobacco spit.
Marijuana, like this.
No, no, no.
That's marijuana.
No.
Mamajuana. Mamajuana.
Palo, palo.
Palo.
Mamajuana.
I see.
Mama wanna take a swig.
So they had two bottles of some kind of unusual looking substance on the roof of that car right there. One of them is I'm not really sure, and the other one is I really don't know what it is.
You know, I don't see any marijuana in it. It's alcohol, yeah.
He said it's herbal medicine.
Yeah, it is. We do this in Asia, Larry. We make this in Asia.
We take all kinds of very powerful herbs and we mix them in with very, very strong vodka. This stuff may have been used for medicinal purposes, but it also can get you very drunk.
They said it's for your thing. He keeps doing this.
This is good stuff. I wish I could have it. All joking aside, that's a good thing we got them off the street.
Sure was an unusual concoction, whatever it was.
Yeah, great. So
I love how they turn this like non-issue into the biggest deal in the world.
Now, you know what I noticed lately on the show? These guys were drunk and they pulled them over. They were driving without their headlights. They were amused by the bottle with mystery substance. They give them their keys back and they tell them to walk home and they leave. They let them go. And I don't know if you guys saw the week before or whatever, was when we were on break. They chased this kid down on the street. They thought he dropped something. He ran and ran, hid under someone's shed in their backyard. They caught him. They pulled him out, you know, and they looked. He didn't have any warrants or whatever. They let him go. Wasn't he evading arrest? Are they under some kind of...
Well,
like,
he didn't know what the hell... See, I'll never understand why people run away from the police whenever they have no reason to.
Oh, yeah, that you just reminded me. He said he had some attachments, so they looked. He didn't have them yet. They go, well, if you have some, they haven't gone through the system yet, so you better take care of those, or we'll arrest you next time. See you later. And he just, like, took off. But I swear, well, like, if you did that here where we live, they'd arrest you just for evading arrest, wouldn't they?
Exactly.
But
because that's automatic suspicion.
But I'm wondering if they're just like, dude, don't bother. We don't need the paperwork. That's a lot of strange.
All doesn't want to have to do any paperwork.
But the guy was inebriated driving to the store with their headlights off, and they were just like, okay, you guys walk home. Walk it off. How did
crazy
they know,
drunk bastard.
You know, how do they know when they leave they're not going to go, hey, they're gone, let's get in the car? Because they could. But also,
hotwire it?
So did they go,
take the gave keys? Them their keys back. No, he said they gave them their keys back.
And also, did the... was that a bottle of whiskey with, like, multivitamins in it or something? I don't know. That was weird. But, yeah.
Well, Steven Seagal wanted it.
Yeah, he's like, I'd take a swig.
His herbs.
I love how stupid those cops are that he works with, though. Marijuana? You say marijuana?
Oh,
marijuana.
Yeah.
Marijuana?
He's like,
marijuana? Like this?
I wouldn't smell that.
Yes, you smoke the bottle of liquid.
Yeah, it's
you
just like,
moron.
And it's like, and he was like, what?
They said it's for your thing.
Said it's for your thing.
No, dude, he was doing that, calling you a jack off.
It's like, you jerk off, leave me alone. All right, let's check out Chef Academy, which ended this week, Bill. I know you're really sad about that, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm so sad. I don't know what I will do with myself next week.
Now, Chef Academy is a show that really had no point. It was Chef Novelli. He opened a school. It was no competition or anything.
It's the Seinfeld of cooking shows.
Well, it's like the whole thing is to graduate. There's no, like, and Coop, he was like, I'm going to be, you know, the top of the class or whatever. Chef Novelli never said someone will get a special plaque if they're top of the class. I don't remember him saying anything like that. So this guy's just
no monetary prize.
Yeah, this is a guy who worked on the submarine. Remember, and I believe he has high pressure nervous syndrome, like Lieutenant Coffee in The Abyss. Remember, his hand shook and he acted crazy.
Yeah, he does cut his arm under tables.
Yeah, I think that's what's going on with Coop here, whose name is spelled K-U-P. Cup.
It's Cup.
Yeah, Cup.
It's like the Transformer.
So I made a clip
here.
Does
it have the umlauts over as U for
no,
Cup?
No.
Just looks like Cup.
Or Coop.
And here's him basically being a dick to Zoe, who he can't stand Zoe, but he's really rude to her for no reason. He just basically goes off on her. And what's funny is his best buddy, the nerdy girl Carissa, who got the tattoo last week, she even gets annoyed by his stupid ass because he's so cocky. Let's go ahead and check this out. And it's a... you know, why we hate Coop. Or Cup, I'm sorry.
How long have you been cooking, Zoe?
Been cooking for a while, Coop.
Oh, okay. Because, honestly, you f***ed up and we're fixing it. So just relax.
I don't think I f***ed it up.
Obviously you did if we both said you f***ed up.
No, it's not f***ed at all. It's been in the oven for less than an hour. This needs to cook for 2.5 hours before glazing is really even an issue.
It should have been golden brown the first 15 minutes you put it in the
That's
oven.
That's so untrue.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Whatever. I'm not going to argue with you.
You are arguing.
Obviously, we're fixing your shit. So
you know
just
what?
Relax
I'm happy with
and do
that.
What you're told.
You know what? I'm not even talking to you. I'm asking
you're
him
talking
what he's
talking to me
doing.
And you're looking at me.
No, I'm asking him what he's
you're
doing.
You're talking to me
I
right
just
now.
Asked him
you're
what
talking
he
to
did
me right now.
Coop.
I don't understand what's going on because you're talking to me and you're telling me you're not talking to me.
Oh, I think Coop is over the top sometimes. I think it stems from him being on a submarine, locked down under the water. Maybe the compression or whatever is like messing with his head or something. I don't know.
High pressure nervous syndrome.
Poor Zoe. He took all of that, like, balled all the stress up and all of the frustration he's had with her, and it was just like, bam!
Seriously, you already f***ed it up. Let it go. Let it go, okay?
He's
I don't want to wait till like literally people are coming the door to see what the dish looks like for the first time. That's a total problem for me. Let's see them. We got to do a lamb. Where's that?
I was so stressed with the lamb because I'm not that strong at this.
Chris's weaknesses are multitasking. She can't do more than one thing at one time. And yeah, I think she took on that. More than she could chew.
I'm really stressing.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Just do another one.
The lamb looks like
plating's not your deal. I don't want anything going in the garbage can. So you'll be cooking the lamb, but he'll be plating it.
You hanging in there, Chris?
The way that Coop took over, it did really frustrate me.
You want to cook over here on your side?
It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, I say we do that.
Because I have really appreciated just more guidance as opposed to someone just grabbing it and taking over.
Who's had your back all day? Who's had your back and did three entrees at once? This guy right here.
I'm really glad that you're so impressed with yourself. You're such a self-righteous, pompous bastard. Right. You would drink your own piss and think it tasted like a margarita.
You know, there's definitely some personality conflicts between some people.
Delicious.
But then that's when I could beat the head chef
so
and say,
sweet.
Not on my watch.
Yeah, and that lady, too, who was talking, I forget her name, but she was put in charge. She was a total bitch, too. What I don't understand...
She reminds me of a truck driver. She just looks like Large Marge.
They are all in a... They're being taught by this renowned chef, and there's not any money prize at the end. Why are they such dicks to each other is
who
what I don't
I
understand.
Think might be certifiably insane.
Yeah, he loves messing with people, and it's funny... That girl Carissa is preparing bread, and they're preparing a meal for star chefs. What do you call it? What kind of star?
Michelin star
chefs. So they're really nervous. He plays a joke on her that there's a hair in one of the rolls that went to him. He's like, "There's a hair," and they could fail if they mess this up. She's like, "No, no, I tie my hair back, and there's no way I did that." And he's like, "No, there's a hair. You go talk to the customer or whatever." And she's like, "Oh my god!" And she's red in the face. She's like, "There's no way." She's getting really pissed. So she goes around the corner, and it's her fiance there to surprise her. And she's like, "What the hell?" She's all like all these emotions, like this mental tornado going through her head. And she's like, "Why would you do that to me?" And he goes, "I didn't do it." And she's like, "Who did that?" And she pointed to Novelli, and she's like, "Ah!" Like she goes at him like a friggin' mad person. And he's like, "Oh, ho, it's so funny. It's messing with these people. It's kind of cruel, isn't it?"
He's a dick.
He's a dick.
It's so easy to fool them.
It's so easy.
He screws with that other mental midget too, that Kyle.
Yeah,
and he just loves doing that.
Oh yeah, everyone gets their little diploma at the end, except there's none left, and Kyle's the only one standing there. He goes, "Kyle, I just wanted to say to you," and he's like sitting there, he's like slumping, he's like, "My family's here and I can't believe this. I let him down." He's like, "I just wanted to know you graduate," and he's like, "Oh," it's like, "What?" He's like, "I just like to mess with him." Wow,
I'm really glad that you're so impressed with yourself.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Carissa. Now, guys, what do you say we talk about some cake boss? Hey! Yeah! Now, this week on Cake Boss, he made some cakes or something. I don't really remember.
He made some cakes. He did?
He made some cakes over here. But
hey, watch out. I'm making cakes over here.
This episode was all about Mary's birthday. It was her birthday. And this was, you know, they wrote the script about her birthday. And it was basically that she wanted a very special cake from Buddy. But Buddy, he didn't pay enough attention to her. So what does she do? She calls another baker and has... She wants him to make her a cake. Very insulting to the family business, don't you think, Steven?
Wow.
This is just preposterous. So let's go ahead and check this out. And if this hurts your ears or something, I won't mind if you just turn it off and stop listening for the night. All right, check this out.
Are you busy?
Anyway, I'm very busy. What do you want?
All right. Well, you know what's coming up, right?
What's coming cake up? Boss for the music,
My
Steve.
Birthday is coming up. It's a national holiday. So I wanted to discuss my cake. I want a big cake. I want, you know, when you think of me, what do you think? Sparkly hair, makeup.
Pain in the ass. That's
pretty,
what I think of.
Cute. I don't know. Maybe I was thinking like a pocketbook makeup. This is a big birthday. I'm going to be 40 years old. I'm not kidding around with you. I am so not kidding around with you. It's my birthday. And you take
Sometimes I get a little humor in it, all right? I don't want to lie. You know, teasing her a little bit sometimes makes me laugh. You know, but at the end of the day, I'm going to make her a nice cake.
It was his birthday a month ago. I didn't make him a freaking cake.
He's not your spirit sister. You know, you guys are blowing me off, and you know, you think you're so great. You're not the only bakers in town.
Hasta la vista, baby.
No, they aren't.
I would love to make me a cake.
Bye-bye. Don't trip down the stairs.
Mary.
Grace, who does he think he is that he don't have time for me?
Mary,
his sister, his favorite
grammar.
Sister.
You're getting all emotional. He's probably teasing you.
Well,
of course he's going to make your birthday cake.
I want
your birthday.
Undivided attention, and he's not giving it to me. So I'm calling someone. But he doesn't even think that he needs to listen to me. But let me tell you something. I will not be ignored. The reason why I'm calling you is because my brother's being a jerk, and
make
it's
it
my birthday. I know you can make a better cake than he can make. Who needs him?
I'd absolutely love to make
you'll
a cake
show
to your
him,
birthday.
Mary.
Okay, so you're available?
Absolutely.
Okay, all right, so I'll see you in a little bit. Thank you.
You are out of your mind.
I really don't
I can't
care.
Even believe that you called another
Why, because you're afraid he's going to make it better?
Whatever, Mary.
Now, guys, I want you to hear this part where, do you remember last season when they said, buddy, I think they're using that brown water, and it was that, you know, obvious ADR. Now listen to this fake phone call that Buddy gets. The voiceover is hilarious here, where the guy Greg calls him. There's no way this is the phone call. Let's check it out.
Mine too. Mine too is for you, buddy.
Hello?
Hey, buddy, it's Greg.
Yo.
Wanted to let you know I just got a call from Mary today.
What do you mean? I get a call from a baker friend of mine. Mary asked him to make a cake for her, but he knows that'll tick me off. My own sister, my own flesh and blood, went to another baker and went behind my back. That's such a slap in the face, a sign of disrespect.
Maybe she killed
her. Mary, you got a lot of nerve. I told you don't worry about your cake. I told you, but you had to go.
You weren't even listening to me.
Now I'm insulting and I'm mad at you. You should be ashamed of yourself.
You didn't have time for me.
But I always pull through.
You left me with no choice.
I know you aggravate my nerves.
Wait, I want to know what you do this time.
She's getting her cake from another baker. This guy's like a slap in the face.
He would not lie.
You got to bring in the mama.
Your brother, an apology. Let's go.
A big one.
I'm
gonna make a big cake. But
when
you
is a rival bakery gonna gun these people down?
All right.
Thank you.
And don't you ever pull that crap again.
Ever.
Go back to work. Go ahead. Let's go. You up there? All right. Let's go. Enough is enough.
At the end of the day, Mary's my sister. We made up. You know, I just don't understand why she's gotta always drive me crazy.
Wow. So do you think?
Because it was in the.
Yeah.
That's your life. I mean,
hey, buddy, it's Trey. Mary called me about a cake.
Yeah, does that sound like?
Sounds like he's talking on a CB radio.
Yeah, it's
Greg. Yo,
Greg
19. This is the big man.
Now let me ask you this: is this that the same voice as this?
Hey, it's for Apple.
No, but it's Alfie the Dragon. Do you remember that? He's like, A is for Apple. It's the same voice, I think. It was Alfie the Dragon on the phone. What the hell?
I think
hell?
That was one of their stagehands.
That's the producer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, buddy, this is Craig.
Okay.
The baker down
Come
the street, wink, wink.
All right, guys, let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
They said it's for your thing.
People's Court.
I have the guys, and they're not able to strip their way out of a paper sack.
She says his strippers can't do the job.
He should have said, Charisse, I need to start with their stripping first because they can't strip.
And Judge Wapner wants to know why.
Are there some people who can't learn movement?
The case of all the wrong moves.
The women aren't really concerned with how much talent they have.
On the next People's Court.
Monday at 4, only on Wavy TV 10.
Friday, the girls go wild and guest Dick Van Patten advises Nick.
Keep your eyes on your kids.
But the mischief gets way out of hand.
We didn't know we were going to get suspended.
Friday. Tuesday, a homicidal housewife reveals a secret.
Her husband was a bigamist.
Bigamist, huh?
A bigamistry when a multi-married man is murdered.
This whole thing is kind of spooky.
The return of Matlock. Then cheers, Kelsey Grammer fakes his murder to commit another.
My, I am clever.
Dale Robertson unravels the ultimate murder suspense.
Hugo.
J.J. Starbuck, Tuesday.
Dogs everywhere love this classic.
Milkbone does for you.
Crunch, 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 crunch.
What your soft food can do.
Crunch, 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 crunch.
And each crunchy bite.
Crunch, 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 crunch.
Helps get teeth.
teeth clean and white.
100% nutritious Milk-Bone dog biscuits help scrape away tartar for cleaner, whiter teeth.
I love you a bunch. Go to Munch. Here's a Milk-Bone with a classic
crunch. Milk-Bone dog biscuits, the classic crunch food for over 75 years.
Nabisco.
Raise your hand.
You got it.
Raise your hand.
You know it. You feel confident, secure.
Raise your hand.
You feel dry now.
Raise your hand.
You know why now.
Raise your hand. Think you're sure.
You've got it. That sure, secure, confident feeling. Because each sure gives you enough protection to help feel dry all day.
Confident, confident, dry and secure. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. If you're sure.
Monday on ALF, the Tanners become a TV ratings family.
La-dee-duh.
When ALF tampers with a people log, will it destroy America's favorite show?
You rigged the ratings?
Yeah, everybody knows how to do that kick. Health kick, yeah.
Whoa!
The goodness of milk is a real health kick.
Health kick, yeah, milk.
You pour a glass of milk real tall.
Getting calcium and vitamins and loving it all.
Looking good. Well, come on, everybody. That kick.
Help kick. Do that kick.
Come on, everybody. Do that kick.
America's favorite health kick.
Now there's a new taste in town, Wendy's New Chili, and it's just 99 cents. Thicker, zestier, tastier. Wendy's New Chili, 99 cents now.
Somebody forgot to read the fine print in his new contract.
I am David Letterman, your host for life.
Late night, now 5 nights a week, every week.
W-Face.
Hey, 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 there's something new at Rax, the all-you-can-eat pasta bar.
W-Face.
Four steaming hot Italian pastas and delicious pasta sauces. It's a pasta lover's paradise.
W-Face.
Pile them up, mix them up, create your own Italian dinner with a soup, a salad, garlic, toast, even a dessert.
W-Face.
Come into Rax after 4 weekdays and anytime on weekends and try something new. The pasta bar.
W-Face.
For the best in show business news, movie reviews, and celebrity interviews, watch Entertainment Tonight, weeknights at 6:30 here on WDAF TV4.
Challenges you with the ultimate video game, the Sega Master System.
Hang on, hang on!
With more accurate control, more detailed graphics, more levels of play.
Awesome!
The Sega Master System comes with power base, 2 control pads, light phaser, and 2 great video games. Hang on at Safari Hunt.
Gotcha!
And with other games like Rambo, Outrun, and Choplifter, the excitement never stops. The Sega Master System. The challenge will always be there.
My feet sweat. A lot. It drives me crazy.
Steve Carls is telling us about Triple Action Gold Bond Medicated Powder.
I like Gold Bond Medicated Powder a lot. It keeps my feet drier, makes it feel like it's working.
Gold Bond's Triple Action is the absorbing action of powder, the medicating action of a proven itch fighter, and the drying action of zinc oxide.
I tell you to try Gold Bond. I use it every day.
Try Triple Action Gold Bond Medicated Powder.
This is no ordinary mint mouthwash. This is Cool Mint Listerine. It kills the germs that cause bad breath. It fights plaque above the gum line. It protects you against the early threat of the gum infection, gingivitis. It's more than a mint mouthwash. This is great-tasting Cool Mint Listerine.
So you claimed $84,000 in entertainment expenses?
Yes, I did.
Do you have any receipts to back this up?
No, I don't.
Well, what's in the bag, then?
Tostitos chips and salsa. People really love them. Every time I open the bag, I mean, one thing...
Tostitos tortilla chips are so deliciously perfect with Tostitos salsa. Next thing you know, it's a party.
I smell refund.
Really?
No, not really. Tostitos, prepare to party.
I'm sure you know the feeling when your tummy starts bleeding, that it really needs a feeding. Right now.
Your mouth produces juices. It's a set, no excuses. Use the top of cut loose here. Right now. You just gotta have a munch. A big corn crunch. Munch a bunch of Fritos.
Corn chips.
Fritos.
For a big nacho crunch, munch a bunch of new non-stop nacho flavored Fritos brand corn chips right now.
For quality meat delivered to your door, Chef's Choice, the freezer pleaser.
Chef's Choice.
It's very convenient.
Chef's Choice makes it easy.
Always fresh.
I save time and money.
They're so helpful when I call in my order from their menu.
Quality meats.
Delivered to my door.
Chef's Choice, the freezer pleaser.
Get yourself a menu and fill your grill now with the 100-piece barbecue bonus free. Call 1-800-772-BEEF.
I'm gonna have me some fun. 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 I'm gonna have me some fun.
I'm really glad that you're so impressed with yourself.
Oh, well, thank you. Hey, we're back, everyone. Welcome back to the show. And if you'd like to call in now, we'll go ahead and let anyone call in who wants, as we're talking about The Heroes, The Dollhouse, The Fringe, The Friday Night Lights. We've got four more shows to talk about. Briefly, Heroes. If you want to bag on Heroes, call in at 818-935-5132. If you hate Mohinder, give us a call. 818-935-5132.
You mean Bruce Banner.
Bill, did you ever get into the chat room?
No, I didn't.
Oh, gay.
No, I've got... There's something going on. I might have to do another install of the operating system.
Well, goddamn.
Yeah.
Wow. Does that mean no one can get in there?
No, it just means I can't.
Oh, okay.
Well, I just keep getting these JavaScript errors, and I've tried to reinstall a couple times, but I don't get what's going on.
Oh, no problem.
She's into Malacca's, Dino.
That's right. Now, okay, Heroes. Let's go ahead and talk about this fantastic show because Matt Parkman returned. Probably character I hate more than any other on the show. What about you guys?
Right.
And, yeah.
Because he's whiny. And in this, he's a stay-at-home dad in this episode, and he's learning to cook, and he's going to cook some ratatouille. Wasn't that awesome? And, you know what, there's a funny...
I don't know, was it awesome?
There's a funny scene here where Noah shows up at his house after his wife leaves. He's just there and he goes, hey, I've looked into your security system. It's not that great. And he's like, you need to help me bring down Samuel Sullivan. And it's real serious. And he's like, no, I've got a lot of stuff going on. I've got my kid and I'm going to cook and blah, blah, blah. And he says one thing, and he's like, all right, what do you want to do? And he changes his mind instantly. It's hilarious. And also, stupid hero who only talks in fanboy cliches about stormtroopers and stuff, they go to rescue Mohinder, and this is annoying, too. So let's check it out. It's kind of a little combined little clip here to just annoy the living crap out of you. Good times!
Hello, Matt.
Hey, what's up?
Bennett, I thought I'd check your security system. Seems you're not as safe as you think.
Okay.
I've left you 5 messages.
What do you want, Bennett?
I need your help. He's you ever heard of a guy named Samuel Sullivan?
No. But even if I have, last time I helped you, I got Siler stuck in my head and I almost died. You remember that?
It's nasty out there, Matt. But shoving your head in the sand doesn't make the world go away.
Yeah, well, you never know until you try, do you?
I'm sorry about what you've been through. The Siler thing was a terrible idea. We all admit that.
Yeah.
Look, I stay home.
Even the writers?
And lock my doors. I don't see why that has to change.
Because this Sullivan guy.
No, the writers still think it was brilliant.
He's a very bad man.
Genius.
Well,
just like this
so's Bin Laden. But you're going to have to do better than that.
He's trying to recruit my daughter.
Matt, good comeback.
Okay, what's your plan? You gonna go kick this guy in the teeth instead of talking to your daughter?
Well, actually, yes, I am.
Sorry.
Today it's Claire. Tomorrow it could be your son.
And that's all he had to say.
If that way is west, we must away before the stormtroopers are upon us.
I have had just about enough of your nonsense, Hero. After what you did to me, I have half a mind to leave you lost in the swamp forever.
Hey, don't talk to him like that. Hero's got very little time left, and he chose to spend the rescuing you. You should be thankful.
Oh,
he's a
shut
hero.
Up, you whiny
little
bitch.
Time.
He's terminal.
The Reaper waits for no man.
He's gonna die already.
The stormtroopers and the Ewoks. Hurry!
Shut up. The Ewoks, really?
They're working together.
No, not unless we unscramble his brain. Hey, what would they have done at that hospital?
Put a frying pan on his head.
Therapy.
Hero. Why are we stopping?
Electroshock therapy.
Wait, you're beating.
Even if we evade them, we could be wandering out here for days. We need to teleport out of here.
How?
You can use your red lightning.
Ah!
Look, he don't want to a future where I kill them with my red lightning.
Was it in Florida?
Japan.
Then we're good to go. Thank you so, Sancho.
he killed him.
I made that sound multiple times while watching
stop.
The show.
Samuel Sullivan.
Hero, you're back.
Yes, and now we must get going.
Expect King Kong to come walking
in. Yeah, I'm waiting for Tarzan.
Wow. What else is there to say? You know, the another thing is...
I'm just wondering why I'm still watching it.
He's
like,
worried...
Much like Bill. Yeah. It's like,
Noah, his whole thing is he's worried about Claire being recruited by Samuel. He visited her at school. He knows she's there. She's not at the carnival anymore. What is he worried about? It's ridiculous. Yeah, and then they have... I think it's funny when a show is like, let's get that chick from Battlestar Galactica. She'll bring some
credibility.
Some geek cred to the show, and instead it just kind of falls flat on its ass. And
hey, it's the old lady.
There's this horrible scene. It was just written so badly where she gets abducted by Samuel, so they chase her. And they chase her. They drive to where the carnival is, and nothing's there. And he's like, where's the carnival? And... Noah's like, I don't know. I just don't know. And he's all staring down at the ground. He goes, somehow I'm going to find this guy. It's like, whoa, ooh, hey, good stuff. Huh? I could have written that. No, actually, maybe I would have written a bit better. No, you know, I wouldn't have written it at all.
You know the old saying, yeah. You put the 1,000 monkeys in a room banging. Mm-hmm. They wrote heroes. They wrote heroes.
That's what they're doing. So Dollhouse has gotten really good. You know, it's coming to a finale, and it's got some shocking twists and stuff. Bill, this episode had a death scene in it that just totally caught me off guard. Like, whoa!
Yeah, I gasped out loud. I was like, oh my gosh.
Because it was after a real tender scene and a kind of a declaration of love type of scene. And it's like,
yeah.
Oh, that's nice. He really seems to have feelings. Bam! And it's just like, holy shiznit! You know, it's just like, whoa! And it was crazy. And it's all building up to they're trying to find... the Rossum Corporation, the main guy, the main baddie. And there's kind of a revelation in this to a guy who's the puppet master behind a lot of what's going on with Caroline and how she came into the dollhouse, you know, Bill. And that was kind of like, huh? That confused me more than anything. And I'm sure we'll...
Yeah, it did for me, too. I didn't quite grab...
It'll be explained
how or why they did that.
I hope it's explained more in this episode that aired tonight. But it was really good, and there's this one part that I thought was pretty cool where Adele, she goes to her office and went some a-hole from the company's there to relieve her of duty, and there's a little shootout that goes on with Boyd, and I thought this was pretty cool. And you know, this is the only episode. I mean, the only part of the episode I could air without spoilers. So we don't want to spoil it for you, Stephen.
I saw it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's check this out. Right?
Mr. Ambrose, what a lovely late night surprise.
Are you surprised, Adele?
Surprised and delighted.
He doesn't look surprised.
He's paid not to look surprised. What can I do for you?
How many times are you going
to
say
you
surprised?
You can go with these gentlemen. They'll escort you to your debriefing. As of this moment, I'm taking over this house and liquidating the inventory.
I beg your pardon.
Let's not play games. Nobody comes out of the attic, Adele. There have been multiple breaches. You're done. Take her.
I don't think so.
Nice.
Well, I guess we can agree this carpet's done for.
Nice.
Mr. Langton.
Oh, he caught one.
Are you out of your mind?
No.
Yes. Oh.
But Ambrose is. You think a ranking Rossum board member would confine his consciousness to a single body?
Yes.
When he finds out you've killed him, he'll be a target.
How's he going to find out?
I'm going to tell him, which is why you're going to run.
Why would you do that?
To draw their fire.
Ah.
It is a war.
I should just be patient.
Yes, it is.
I'll get my answer.
Claire.
Who?
She should stay with the group.
No! She'll be leave the cheerleader.
Hello, cheerleader.
Thank you.
Thank me later.
Yeah, and also he's like in love with the Dr. Saunders who returns, and I was like, huh?
Yeah.
What's
there was a
there?
Scene where he goes home to her, and she's in this dress that was like skin tight. I was like, whoa, nice.
And you know that death scene we were talking about? Was it the mist that came out of the back of the head? I was like, that was an awesome squib.
Because That was a nice CGI squib there.
I was like, I didn't think it was CGI. I thought it was practical effects, like a little packet or something. Like,
was it?
It's like a mist. I don't know. It didn't look CGI.
I can't even tell the difference anymore. A lot of CGI is so photorealistic with a lot of that stuff.
But it actually disturbed me how it just came out of nowhere like that. And I think she was even smiling or whatever, and it's just like, damn, that shit was effed up.
Well, yeah,
yo.
Because the person says, well, you know he loves you. And it's like, you know, smile, boom! It was like, oh my God.
I don't think so.
Yeah, something like that. And poor Topher, that poor guy. This, from the beginning of this series to now, you know, I really, like, Topher, like, the first episode, I was like, who is this dude? He's getting on my nerves. Yeah. And over time, he's become more likable, and he has funny lines and stuff. He's just kind of an annoying type personality, but I think he's a funny dude, you know?
Yeah,
and,
he's grown on you.
Yeah, he's definitely grown on me, and I felt really bad for him because he finally found someone. But, I'm really curious to how all this plays out. And, you know, I got to be honest that I think that the Echo character is probably the least interesting to me as I'm watching the show.
Yeah, it's not even about her anymore.
Yeah, I want to see how things play out, but yeah, you're right. It's like,
like you said, once they figured out they probably aren't going to have another season, they couldn't just base it all upon her.
Right, yeah, and it always was about this cast of characters, and I like how everything's playing out. It's become more interesting.
What?
Yes, exactly. Now, guys, let's talk about The Fringe, and this episode was about elephant people. Yes, that's right, elephant people. I liked how it was called Project Elephant, but this had disturbing shotgun deaths in it, which was kind of crazy. What was that about? Just like
it was very visceral. I was kind of taken back by how brutal it was television.
Abruptly violent it was. Just like, holy shit, just like... These, you know, as much as you feel bad for these people, they're kind of cold-blooded killers.
Almost like the beginning of RoboCop, where they're killing Peter Weller.
It's I know, these guys. And I'll just play this clip at the beginning of the episode that I thought was funny. Let's check this out.
I saw a boy who looked like this once. He was young, like this child, and he played the banjo. I think it was a haunting melody. Dun 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 dun. Ding 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 ding. Yes, you saw it too.
Yes, I did. It's a movie, Walter. It's called Deliverance. We saw it together.
Probably not the same boy.
There are 30 or 40 reports in there. Strange stories about these deformed people.
Well, some of these are 30 years old. I saw him change in front of me. Suddenly he was hideous.
Like Trooper Bukowski reported, misshapen and deformed. It looked like a cousin of Bigfoot. Well, that's clearly wrong. This boy bears no resemblance at all to a Sasquatch. Or a Yeti, for that matter.
Well, you don't believe in those creatures.
Why shouldn't I? It's because no one has documented flying monkeys or talking lions yet. Hardly means they don't exist.
Agent Frug,
My father's a bit of a shock doc. Don't let him alarm you.
There was some great... There's always great interaction, actually, with him and Astrid when they were dealing with the butterfly and stuff. I thought that stuff was great. And there's always something in the show, always stuff that reminds me of Stephen King stuff. And there was that hum in the background in the town.
A Finney.
Yeah, that's always there to remind people of everything. It was very Stephen King-like to me. Well, I thought
there was the humming in the background in Tommyknockers.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Not you see, it's very Stephen King-like. And even in the episode before, that throwaway episode, there's always elements in all of them that kind of remind me. And, you know, I was even watching, you know, this has nothing to do with Fringe, but I was watching that show Mercy on NBC, Bill, about the nurses.
And yes, because Christopher, the hot nurses.
Yeah, Christopher Moltisanti was on this episode.
Was he?
That actor. What's his name again? Because when I see him, I'm like, hey, it's Christopher.
Michael Imperioli.
Yeah, Michael Imperioli plays a guy who's gotten a hand transplant, a successful hand transplant, and he wants to thank the family who donated it, and he finds out the person who donated it, or the family that did, was the guy was a convicted child rapist who's now dead, obviously, because he has his hand, and he doesn't want the hand anymore. He wants it to be cut off. But it was a thing that was... He had to sign forms, and they actually donated it, and he had to... It's basically like an experiment where they have to... They're running tests, and they report it. He's like a trial, you know what I mean? So he can't cut it off, because he's agreed to legally have this hand and help them study it to see how successful it is. So the whole thing is about him wanting to remove this, because he feels like... When they talk to him about muscle memory, it has a memory. It'll remember. He's like, it has a memory? And it, like, freaks him out. Like, this is friggin'... You know, a pedophile's hand.
It has a memory of little children.
So there's a part where he locks himself in this room, and they're like trying to get in there, and he's got a saw, and he's like, zzzz! He's like, ah! Like that. And that kind of reminded me of Stephen King type kind of horror story, you know? I just thought it was crazy. It is disturbing, too. But also, there's that movie Body Parts with Jeff Fahey.
And then there's Idle Hands.
Yeah.
With Devon Sawa.
So it's been done before, but I liked how Mercy did it because the show's not about that stuff. It's just about hospital stuff, but that seemed kind of a horrific storyline there. But back to Fringe, this thing where this doctor, you know, it's again with the parallels, Walter, where you, at one time, he did experiments. I guess what leads these scientists into these things is just curiosity, morbid curiosity, whatever, and they do things for the government that ends up perverting nature and ruining lives. And he sees that his partner, some doctor, did that too, and he actually did this to his daughter. So you see a lot
there. What's weird about that? We think back to the episode where Walter was Walter for a few seconds.
Right.
And how evil he came across. So
he came real nice.
I think he was perverted, like a science pervert to begin with. I don't think he wasn't a very nice guy. So
he didn't.
The
seem
more
real,
these weird experiments you see him involved with, it's like, wow, this guy was really a screwball.
Well, like they show that clip. Was that on this episode where the guy had the little prongs in his head? Into his brain, or was that the previous episode?
That was the previous episode.
Oh, okay, because I thought that was disturbing, and Astrid's like, I'm not sure I'm into your home movies or whatever. But that was good. You know, this is one of those kind of self-contained stories, but it always has those little elements of the overall story arc, like character development.
Well, yeah, he was afraid of getting kidnapped again.
And this even had Peter had his first kill, so we think. He didn't say anything, but... I didn't think it was. I figure he's probably off somebody before.
Yeah.
He's probably...
I'm scared about next week's episode, the whole rage virus thing.
Yeah, that looks good, doesn't it? I can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
That cracked me up.
Now, guys, let's talk about the Friday Night Lights. That's a good show, right? Friday Night Lights. Good show. But, you know, it starts off with some really real tragedy where he's looking for Tink. We never did find out where the hell he was. He just shows up again, doesn't he? He goes looking for Coach Taylor goes looking for Tink in the the bad side of town in the park, and he sees a little kid has gotten shot. So he's really disturbed by that, and he's like, he wants to get into turning the lights on. And it's funny whenever something like that happens where it's like, hey, I want to make a difference and do something. It's like, oh, this is your little crusade, huh? This is what you want to do? It's like, I understand why they have an attitude, I guess. But at the same time,
absolutely.
The same time, just let them do it, okay? I don't know. You know, it's just
if it's not going to work, let him fail on his own, you know?
Right, but they, you know... What I like is we knew that the guy who runs the barbecue stand would eventually, him and Coach Taylor would come together. Yeah, they've softened up together, and they kind of joining together to get the lights turned on in this park. And what I want to know is, why were the lights off to begin with if all they had to do is break into the lockbox to turn them on?
Well, it's the money to cost for the county to pay for it.
To pay for the lights. Oh, I see. So they turn them off because they don't want to pay for it, basically.
Right.
Oh, I got you. But what's funny is you remember a couple weeks ago, which was hilarious, is when Glenn and the other teachers took Connie Britton out to karaoke, and they all got drunk, and they had a good time, and Glenn made the drunken pass, and she's like, whoa, Glenn, what the hell? And that was like, sometimes in shows I get a little embarrassed where I have to like look away from the screen.
Yeah, yeah.
And I felt like that then, and I felt like this now when Glenn approaches Eric to tell him about it. It was hilarious.
You're like, don't do it.
Let's check this out.
Hey, Coach Taylor. Hey,
Glenn, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good. How's everything on the west side?
It's good. I'm sorry to just drop in on you like this.
I'm sorry. What do you need?
Look, I just want to say I really appreciate you just taking the high road like this here. I really do. I mean, I'm a science teacher. You know, I know how these things work with adrenaline and hormones. And by all accounts, I mean, you got every right to just deck me and just tell me to go to hell. Did she not? Did Tammy not tell you what happened the other night?
No.
Oh, no. Okay. This is a little awkward. I kissed your wife. Please don't hit me. I came here to apologize and to explain myself. We were at this karaoke bar, and everybody's having a great time, and I just got a little excitable, you know, and I was walking into the cab, and this next thing you know, my lips were on her lips, and I thought, wow, my mouth is on Tammy Taylor's mouth. And then she pushed me back, and she told me that could never happen again, and that's why I came here, Coach. I had to get it off my chest.
Okay. I don't know what else to say.
Okay. I'll see you around at the game or something.
Oh, you'll see me sooner than that.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I'm so sorry.
I love you. You'll see me sooner than that. And I love that he's like joking with her in bed, like about Glenn. And, you know, it's funny because he's not threatened by the guy at all. He's just like, whatever, man. And later when they're going to go on, they need a date out. They need a night out. And he has to cancel on her because he has to meet with the other guys about the park. She's like, well, I guess I'll call Glenn.
So don't let him drink all my scotch.
That was hilarious.
That's a good play there.
Yeah, those actors are so good together.
Yeah, I'm going to miss them whenever the show's over.
I don't know if it's season one or two. There's this great moment where they're fighting, and he's just like, they're yelling at each other or whatever, and he stops. And he's like, I really love you. You know that? He's just like, he wants to strangle her. You know, I love you too, honey. You know, just the way they deal with each other is great. It's one of the best things about the show.
Really is.
And you know, they have this unstable thing on the show, which is the. I forget the girl's name, but she finds out she's pregnant. And the reason I say it's unstable is because in so many shows we've seen the teen pregnancy. And I know I know it's a real thing that happens. It probably happens way too often. But it's been done to death on shows, so it's just like, will she get an abortion, or will she have the baby, or will she have a miscarriage and be saved in the nick of time or whatever?
I was very surprised that they went that route. Like, I don't know. It, like you said, it's so cliched at this point.
Right.
But you know, it's like you said, I guess, you know, it's cliched because it does happen.
But another thing is, a lot of times this show turns things on its head a little, where it doesn't happen like we thought it was. So maybe,
well, it's kind of like
something good will happen of it.
When you know that he goes and tells his parents, and they, well, let's meet the girl.
Yeah, by next week's episode. Yeah, that looks interesting too. And he doesn't look like he's comfortable with an abortion and all that stuff. So we'll see.
No.
It's just kind of like the kind of thing is like, ah, are we really going here? But, hey, I'm going to trust you, Friday Night Lights, and see where you go with that, okay? But I like the part where Regan's like, hey, he's knocking on her door. He's like, I'm going to keep knocking, going to keep knocking, going to keep knocking. I can do this all day long. I love that. Regan's is hilarious. And, you know, it's like we were wondering last week, it's like, did Regan's get her pregnant? But no, that was just trying to trick us, trying to fool us, right?
Throw us off the trail.
I knew it was that dude to begin with. And the reason I'm not saying his name is I can't remember. What's his name again, Steve?
Luke.
Damn it. Luke, Vince. What's the girl's name?
Becky.
Becky. Luke, Vince, Becky. Got it. Never ask again.
Liar.
I've got it in my head. And I love that football game in the park, didn't you? Where they're playing football and the guys are acting kind of dickheaded or whatever. And Vince is like, don't show them any weakness, you know. Don't.
I know these guys. I know what to do. Just keep playing.
Yeah, keep playing. Mm-hmm. Play hard.
And then the young kid that showed some promise, you know.
He's like, hey, you're going to come.
You're going to find me next year, right, when you come to high school?
Yeah, you can come play for me. He's like, sure will, coach. I thought that was a good way to cap off the episode.
And yeah, that was.
And it's good to see. I love how they have Buddy this season, too. Where he's working with them to get things changed, you know. And oh, there's also Vince needs a job, right? And he asks Coach Taylor, he's like, I need money. And I think at first he's like, what? You know, kind of like, you asking me for
money?
Yeah,
you're asking me for cash?
He's like, I'm trying to get a job, but I've got a record. So he's like, I'll find something for you. And it's working with that barbecue
stand. He's like, if I put your name down, will you vouch for me kind of thing?
How great was that when Landry's there and he's like, hey, Vince, what's up? And he's just staring at him. He's like, Vince, hey, what's up? He's just like, evil eye.
They got some homework to do. Yeah.
And they're kind of like peeking out the door at him. He's just standing there and they slowly close the door. And later on, he's like, hey, do you got a problem with me? You know? And he's just staring at him. He's like, hello? You know? You had something to say?
Do you want to say something?
Do you want to hit me or something? Just do anything. Some kind of reaction. He just kind of pats him on the shoulder. He's like, what does that mean? Well, that was great, too. And then when Vince is working at the barbecue place, his friends come up and they're like, yo, give me some food, man. Go in there and give me some food. He's like, what? You can go in and order at the counter? It's like, oh, I'm punk ass or whatever.
Can't
it's
hook
like,
us up.
What the hell's wrong with these guys? They're a-holes.
It's like
the knit caps on their head are a little too tight.
Oh, no.
Yeah, good old Glenn. I want to see more Glenn on the show. I love that. But, yeah, once again, great Friday Night Lights. We'll see where they go with these storylines. And I want to see some more football. Oh, and before, you know, we move on, also, what did you think of the little talk about, was it J.D. McCoy called his teacher a bitch? And Joe, he's getting a divorce with his wife.
And he's become, and J.D.'s becoming a handful.
You know what I love about Friday Night Lights is another thing is if you go all the way back to the pilot, like when they first showed Tyra, and in fact, I remember the commercials for the promos. I was like, what is this show? It does, some crappy teenage show. And then they turn it on its head. They make them human. And I love this moment with Joe McCoy where he's talking about his son and how they're splitting up. All of a sudden, he's not a dickhead a-hole anymore. He's just, he's a human being that they
made. Yeah, he's a tortured father.
Yeah, and I love how this show does that, that they, you know, a lot, like, so
all of a sudden, his son could do no wrong before, now.
Right, and that's another thing I want to see with J.D. McCoy, because he's been kind of a caricature this season so far.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have a moment where they turn him human again for us, and they're like, he's a real person, you know? And I think that'll be great. That's what I love most about this show, and how great they do it. Again, I want to cite.
Well, JD was supposed to spend a week in detention, which means he's going to miss football practice, which means he can't play.
Yeah, and that's what Joe says, that'll be good for him, and you're kind of surprised.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it was like.
But I was going to say, like, even Fringe does great moments with Walter or Peter, these kind of human moments, or with Astrid. But think of heroes. Are any of those people human to you in any way, those characters?
No.
Have they had any kind of moment where they don't know how to do
they
it?
They tried when Peter's brother died,
This character...
Yeah, they ruined that.
This character we barely even knew on Dollhouse, the death was tragic because of the feelings for another character for that person. They set that up perfectly to make us feel something for someone who's essentially a guest star on the show. Heroes' deaths have never meant anything to me. It's like, oh, they'll be back or whatever. Yeah, they're not dead, whatever.
Eh, no big loss.
It's just, you know, I hate to bag on heroes. I don't really hate it that much. It's fun. But,
hate it that much.
And also, we talked about day one last week, Bill? Then, you know, NBC dickheads that they are, we already know the way they're treating Conan and everything, a late night situation. Day one was originally a 13-episode series that was going to premiere this season. They were like, well, 4-hour miniseries. Let's see how it does, and then we'll order the more episodes or something like that.
Oh, the old the ABC V thing.
Right, and V is already making new episodes, so we know it's coming back for some reason. And now we hear that NBC has said, actually, day one, 2-hour movie. We're going to cut it down to 2 hours. Okay, what I want to know is this. Jesse Alexander, he's gone from 13 episodes to a 4-hour miniseries, and I'm sure he's had to truncate the story, edit it down. Hey, you know that 4 hours? I need you to cut that down to 2 hours. He's just like,
this story will make no sense.
It's like, how the hell... Am I? Oh man,
that's unbelievable!
God damn!
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, that's the news there on that stuff. All our favorite shows. Let's check out the news, or a different version of the news, if you will.
Yeah.
Right, Steven?
Yes.
You with me over there, Steven?
I'm here.
Where's Pancake's house?
Where's the Pancake's house, Steven? Do you know?
Closest one from here. I'm trying to think.
Stop at Pancake's house.
All right.
I love that he calls it Pancake's house.
Pancake's house.
Like Pancake's a person.
Come on, man.
All right, guys. Here's what we're going to do this week. You know, I said at the top of the show, Bill is not feeling well. And, you know, Bill, I don't want to make you sit through news stories doing that stuff.
Thank you.
And
I appreciate it. My voice is getting harsher as the show continues.
Let's go ahead and talk about this Tonight Show disaster, NBC disaster. It's all anyone's been talking about on different entertainment shows and stuff. And actually, you know, some people don't care, obviously. Like, oh, I'm sick of hearing about it. But I genuinely like Conan. I always have. I mean, I remember watching the very first episode, Late Night with Conan O'Brien, when it first premiered. You know, we've always loved Conan and Andy and their skits and all that, and Triumph the Insult Comic Dog. And I honestly, you know, myself would have been happy if he always stayed in that time slot. But the idea of him going to the Tonight Show and then Andy was joining him, you know, I was like, wow, that's going to be awesome. There's going to be in Hollywood. It's going to be really cool. And
more guests.
It's been a lot of fun because it comes on earlier now. Right. And, you know, I've been watching it with my wife, and, you know, my Emma will watch it with us too. She knows who Conan is, you know, now. And we're having a good time. We've been watching it quite a bit, you know. The only night I don't watch it is Fridays. And I'm going to start recording it tonight because it's not going to last much longer, obviously, most likely.
Yeah, same here.
Because things aren't looking well for it.
Unless he gets somewhere else.
And basically, you know? Last week, I think what we talked about is just the idea that NBC, during the Olympics, they were going to take Jay off the 9 o'clock slot, which is here. Everyone's like talking about it at 10 o'clock, but we're like in
your central time.
Right. And so basically, Jay's going to be right after the news, and then Conan will come on 30 minutes later. And so I thought, oh, this is going to be during the Olympics. I didn't realize how permanent it was going to be, you know. So then we hear that, no, they're canceling Jay and that. And technically, are they really canceling him? They were just moving his show.
They're moving it.
But Conan said, no, I don't want to do that because the Tonight Show is an institution. It's been around for 50-plus years. You just don't push it back 30 minutes. And I'm pretty sure, frankly, he was sick of following Jay, for Christ's sakes. He couldn't get away with him even when he took over the Tonight Show. And see, here's what I originally always thought, Bill. This is what I personally thought, was that Jay had been doing the show for 15 years, and he wanted to stop doing the show. That's what I thought. So he said, at this certain year, I'm going to retire. I'm going to stop doing the Tonight Show. So they're like, hey, Conan, you want to do it? I thought that's what was going on here. And he was going to take over. And then when the time got close, he was kind of going, I don't know. I think I want to keep doing this. So they threw the Jay Leno show at him. So he did that. But what it's starting to look like now is he was forced into quitting the Tonight Show. Or at least that's what it seems like he's trying to make it out to be.
Well, it was Conan. Part of Conan's contract was that after so many years, he would get the Tonight Show.
Oh,
and
I see.
Jay agreed to it.
Right. And you know what? Let me just play this.
Because they wouldn't have done it unless Jay agreed to it.
Right. And was he pressured into it? I don't know. It didn't seem like he was. But you know what? Here is here's Letterman kind of explaining the whole thing. And I thought he's been talking about it every night. He's really interested in it. You could tell when he's talking about it because he went through this shit when he was at NBC, right?
Yeah.
So let's listen to him talk all about it. It's pretty interesting.
We started the late night show back in 1983. Was it 83? Was it 83? 82. 1982. That's right. And then what happened? We came over here to CBS.
Yes.
Jay, Big Jaw Leno, had the Tonight Show.
Big Jaw.
And then he went on to do very well with the show, the Tonight Show.
Oh, yeah.
And then Conan O'Brien, a nice fellow, took our old job. We were here. So now Conan O'Brien was on at 12:30. And about 4 years ago, he said, I want Jay Big Jaw Leno's job. Mm-hmm. And they said, NBC, the people at NBC, and I want to tell you something, a lot of people criticize these executives at NBC, but don't kid yourselves. If they didn't know what they're doing, they wouldn't be there. So they said, sure, Conan, you can have the Tonight Show in 2009. Was that what they said he could have it?
Yes. It was.
And so they went to Jay Big Jaw Leno, and they said, Jay, we're taking your show away from you.
Yes.
And Jay said, yeah, okay, that's pretty good. Right. Yeah, I was going to suggest that.
Right.
So Jay now decides he wants to go on at 10 p.m. They said, fantastic. And he did a wonderful variety show on
big
a 10
variety
p.m.
show.
Big variety show on at 10 p.m. there at NBC. And one thing leads to another, and it didn't quite work out the way the geniuses in programming thought it might work out. So now the affiliates that carry the NBC shows, they said, you know, we're out of here. We're going to Telemundo. Leave us alone. Don't call us. You know, put a camera on a birdhouse. We can do much better. We don't care. Get us out of here. So now NBC said, well, everything's fine. Jay Big Jaw Leno is doing great at 10. And Conan will settle in. And they said, no, we can't take it anymore. So now they pull the plug on Jay. They pull the plug on him.
Yes,
and they said, okay, your show is canceled. You're going back to 11:30. And Conan's going to 12:05 to do the Tonight Show, which, as somebody pointed out, really at 12:05 is no longer the Tonight Show.
No.
It's tomorrow's show.
It's the tomorrow, yeah.
It's the next day show. What will Conan do? Will Conan stay and do the Tonight Show at 12:05? And then Jimmy Fallon gets pushed back to, when does he start? He would start then at 1.
Yeah,
he would. And then at 2. The other guy,
Carson Daly.
Yeah, what his would show have... would have started at 2. Yeah. And I called NBC and they said, well, we've never heard of Carson Daly.
Poor Carson Daly. Here's the deal.
Anytime there's a big stink like this, and believe me, there hasn't been a big stink like this in years, it's money. Don't kid yourselves, it's all about money. And as nice a guy as Conan is, he's a smart fellow, and he knows that if he takes a hike, he's going to lose an enormous sum of money. Mm. So he just now says, well, I'm not going to follow Jay.
Right.
You guys do something about it. So now NBC has to do something about it, and they have to do one of two things. They have to either pay him an enormous sum of money. I mean, how much money do you think we're talking about, Paul?
$40 million.
Just about in that neighborhood, yeah. My friend. Just about in that neighborhood. And that's big dough. That's big dough because this whole mistake over there at NBC has cost them hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. So now the last thing they want to do, they just want Conan to quit and go away and do a show in his basement. That's right. What they want. That's exactly what they want. But he's a smart kid. He's not going to do that. He's in there for the cash. Or they waive his non-compete clause so he can go to Fox or come here and take my job. Wait a minute.
Why? Hey, they seem to be into that idea.
But it's very exciting.
But, yeah, he pretty much spelled it all out, really. And it seems like that story last week that we kind of covered has turned into now, basically, Conan doesn't want to do the time change. So it's like NBC is pretty much wants him out is what it feels like to me. And Jay Leno will get the Tonight Show back is what a lot of people are speculating now. And it's all the negotiations is all about Conan and what sum of money they're going to give him, right? To let him out of his contract. Is that what it seems to you, Bill?
I'll say yes. Yeah.
It all seems it's so screwed up, the entire situation. But yeah, I think that's what is probably going to happen is they're going to let Conan go and pay him.
You know, I don't want to see money. Jay Leno hosting the Tonight Show again. That'll sicken me to no end.
No one does.
I mean, sick feeling, you know.
If people truly cared about Leno, he would have had decent ratings where he was at 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock
well,
for you.
You know, I've seen some Leno supporters, believe it or not, and they say, hey, Conan failed in this time slot or whatever. You can't blame him if they want to put Leno back. And another thing is he's never had a decent lead-in. He's always had Jay Leno. People aren't watching Jay Leno, so they're not going to stick around for the Tonight Show. They've already changed the channel, you know? The whole thing is about programming. You have a good lead-in like ER when it was a number one show, going right into your local news, and then the Tonight Show. But instead they have Jay Leno for an hour, which no one's watching. No one's watching the evening news. And these affiliates, like Letterman said, are pissed off because nobody's watching our newscast. Yeah. You know, we're getting beat by CBS, Fox, ABC. We look like laughingstocks. So the NBC guys are like, oh, shit, what are we going to do? You know?
It's like, does it take for the owners of the station or of the NBC Universal to see how much of a hole Jeff Zucker has driven the entire network into. I mean, when he took over, I can't think of a single hit show he's put on the air.
Right.
That has really lasted, that has, you know, matched what was on before he came. You know, I remember like it was like must-see TV Thursday nights and
right.
All that. Now it's just like, eh. I hardly ever watch NBC.
And, the good thing about it is Conan's been doing NBC jokes all week, and they've been really funny, and his ratings have actually been up because people have been watching to see what he says about pretty much getting yanked. And I have a clip here of the bit he did last night, which I thought was pretty funny, where he's a porn company that does porn movies, wants him to do a movie. It's pretty funny.
Thank you so much. Hello there. I'm Conan O'Brien, NBC's Employee of the Month. Isn't that nice? You know, of course, everybody knows NBC and I are having a little tiff right now. Yeah. Little lover's quarrel, if you will. Now, there's a rumor. This came out today. There's a rumor that NBC is so upset with me, they want to keep me off the air for 3 years. That's what I said, yeah. Yeah, my response to that is, if NBC doesn't want people to see me, just leave me on NBC.
When I heard that joke, I was like, he doesn't want his job anymore, does he?
It's like I'll be in the witness protection program. Now, my future is, it's pretty uncertain right now. And this is absolutely true. I'm not making this up. I received a letter from the adult film company Pink Visual offering me, this is true, offering me a role in one of their porno
movies. I love the name.
In the movie, I'd be having sex with a beautiful woman, and just as we're about to climax, I get replaced by Jay Leno. I got it from here, kid. I'll take over now. Hiya, lady. I don't even want to think about that. But all joking aside, I really do consider myself a very lucky person. I do. No matter what happens, it's been a real honor to sit in the same chair as Steve Allen, Jack Parr, Johnny Carson, Jay Leno, and Jay Leno. Now, I've mentioned this before. I'm not making it up. It's absolutely true. A porno company called Pink Visual has made a formal offer to me to take the lead role. The lead role. In a porno film about my situation with NBC. This is a real story. I am considering it. I am considering it. Yes, I am. I gotta work.
Don't end it. You think you'll need anyone to announce you?
Yeah, just don't. Yes, I will. You're coming with me.
All right.
You're coming with me into porno land, Andy.
I've always wondered what those things are like.
Yeah. Just don't raise expectations.
Here he is, Conan.
Gotta be more like, oh, you know, here's Conan O'Brien. He's shy and very pale. He likes the lights out. Anyway, I really am considering this. And in fact, I've come up with some possible titles for my first porno. Yeah, and I'd like to try them out on you. Take a look right now. There's Crammin' O'Brien. Cuckoo for Coco's Puffs. Two hosts, one slot.
Oh, God.
Monologue. Chin Deep. Conan the Impaler. The Splay Leno Show. Conan Gets the Late Shaft. Carson Daly's Last Ball, Late at Night with Jimmy Fallon, Change in Time Sluts, In the Rear 3000, Conan the Bangbarian, Andy will try him, NBC Lawyer Gang Bang, The Back End Deals, and the Fisterhood of the Traveling Time Slots. Which is, I don't know what I'm going to do, yeah.
So he's basically been doing jokes that, I mean, he's been really funny, I think, every night. And Andy did a bit last night that was hilarious where he wanted to plead to everyone out there. You saw it, right, Bill?
Yeah, that was hilarious.
He's like, you know,
he said he spent a lot of money.
He's
a
like,
little too much money.
He's been on a lot of sitcoms that they have all been canceled. Then finally The Tonight Show comes. I'm going to have this job for like 12 years. And then he's like, and I spent a lot of money. He's like, guys, I'll take any job. It was really funny. But, you know, another thing about Jay Leno, and I've known this since whenever I first saw him, his humor is so lame. It's not funny. I remember I used to work with this older lady who goes, yeah, I watched Jay Leno last night. It was so funny. He was like, there's his demographic right there, that old bag right there.
And that's what a lot of comedians have a problem with, is that Leno was an amazing stand-up. He was one of the greats. And he gets The Tonight Show, and then he does absolutely nothing with it. He does this just pandering humor. Bullshit, you know, crap comedy.
Jaywalking.
And a lot of comedians don't like him just for that.
Right. Here's a good example. Jay Leno last night, he did a little bit of jokes and with Conan in mind. And they're not funny. And he's got the most dullest guy ever, Kevin Eubanks, there laughing at his jokes. Just check this out. Ugh.
Welcome to the new show. I'm a Celebrity. Get me off NBC. Yes.
Aren't you laughing, Steve?
Well, another TV news. It's hard to believe there is other TV news. Sarah Palin has signed with Fox News to be a correspondent. Well, in a statement today, Fox said if Ms. Palin does a good job, they will sign her to a long-term contract. If she doesn't work out, they'll just blame Leno. That's what they said. That's the
pretty funny. Huh?
As you know, with all the controversy going on here,
Jay, you're hilarious.
After the Tonight Show, with Conan O'Brien's ratings have gone up. They've gone up.
Really?
So, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Was it the one where shit, they were man. Playing NBC, Never Believe Your Contract?
Yeah, that's
yeah, and he said it whenever he first got the
yeah.
the show.
Right.
So it's a what, 17-year-old joke?
Yeah.
And here's a hilarious thing is last night Jay had Jimmy Kimmel on his show. And
I wonder why he thought this would be a good idea.
He does this stupid bit called 10 questions in 10 minutes or whatever, where he asks celebrities different questions. So we had Jimmy Kimmel on there, and immediately Jimmy kind of made it uncomfortable by making jokes at his expense. And I thought it was great. And let's just check this out, because I thought it was awesome. And, I don't even watch Jimmy Kimmel's show or anything, and he has that kind of laid-back quality or whatever, you know.
But he does.
He cracks me up here. He's pretty damn funny. Let's check this out.
If you got to interview anyone in the world, who would it be?
You and Conan together.
Oh, that's
I would like to have the two of you. In fact, if Conan won't do it, I'd like just you. In fact, I'd like to do 12 at 12 with you tomorrow night.
Really?
If you would be willing to do that, because I have a lot of questions to ask you about this whole thing. I don't think people care about what I have to say.
Yeah. I agree with that.
What's going on in your life.
Tomorrow night? Tomorrow night's bad for me. All right, let's move on.
Oh, it is bad.
Number five, you're known for pranks. What's the best prank you ever pulled?
I think the best prank I ever pulled was I told a guy, 5 years from now, I'm going to give you my show. And then when the 5 years came, I gave it to him, and then I took it back almost instantly.
Wow. I got you. Ever order anything off the TV?
Like NBC ordered your show off the TV?
No. Actually, something like that, yeah. What's the most number of lap dances you've had in one night?
Jay, my mother's watching the show, so... Actually... No, wait a minute. The show's canceled, right? Nobody's watching the show. Yeah, my mother's not watching the show.
Your mom's not watching.
Strippers I don't like in general because you have this phony relationship with them for money, similar to that of when you and Conan were on The Tonight Show together,
passing
the torch.
Right, yes.
You know what I'm saying.
Yes, I do. What do you fear most?
I fear the network will move my show to 10 o'clock.
Right. I had that nightmare.
Yeah.
All right, number
How did
nine.
It go?
Number nine. Is there anything you haven't hosted that you want to host?
Oh, this is a trick, right?
Where
you get me to host The Tonight Show and then take it back from
me? No.
I'm not going to. Listen. Listen, Lucy, I'm not Charlie Brown. I don't fall for that trick.
You came on at 10 of 10 because A, you love innovative satellite technology. B, you're promoting your own show. See, you want to keep me happy in case I decide to switch to ABC.
It's, you know what? It's all of the above, really. Listen, Jay, Conan and I have children.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All you have to take care of is cars.
That's right.
I mean, we have lives to lead here. You've got $800 million. For God's sakes, leave our shows alone.
So he pretty much said it all there, didn't he?
You know, I wonder if that was planned on Leno's part to try to, I don't know, make him look more sympathetic. By having Kimmel attack him?
I don't think it worked, if that was what
No,
they were
I don't
doing.
Think it worked. Well, nothing can work for Leno. He's an asshole.
Well, if Leno wrote any of those answers, you know,
there's
for him...
There's no way he did.
No, he didn't.
And, you know, there's a lot of stuff in between there. I just edited around it. You know, it's a stupid bit anyway, but...
Yeah.
Kimmel was just, you know, trying his best to work out something, and... You know, it really sucks because, again, I wanted Conan to host The Tonight Show for a long time. I think NBC are morons. You know, if I had a job where I wasn't wanted, obviously I wouldn't want to stay there. And I think he felt like, you know, originally the time slot thing where, like, we're going to put Jay Leno in front of your show for 30 minutes or whatever. Knowing me, I probably would have been like, oh, okay, for a while, let's see how this works out. But... Conan stood his ground. He's like, no, you can't move the Tonight Show back. You can't bump it 30 minutes. That's ridiculous. And I'm wondering if they knew he would react that way so they could get him out of his contract or whatever. I don't know. I don't understand why they had any kind of problem.
I mean, Letterman did the same thing when they were, you know, he got into that big fight with NBC. It was just like, dude, I want out. I I'm not wanted here.
Right. And he's got a great thing going at CBS now. I'd love for Conan, you know, like people have said he could go to Fox and do a show or whatever. That would be fantastic, I think. I think they would have a great time doing that, but it just...
I mean, Fox is the only one that doesn't really have a talk show on.
Right.
Like that.
They have weird programming. Like, at basically here, Bill, at 9 o'clock, like after, say, 24 or something ends, the local news comes on for, like...
An hour.
An hour. Yeah. Well, actually, an hour and a half, because then it comes on
again.
And then
after the news, it's just syndicated programs, like
right.
Seinfeld.
They have
something.
This huge open area of some kind of programming that could go there, you know? And, I mean, probably some kind of syndicated programming is profitable for them. But there's no... You couldn't tell me that a Conan show there couldn't earn the same amount of money as, like, an old SVU rerun or something.
It absolutely could.
You know, he's kind of got the Fox affiliation since he wrote for The Simpsons and stuff, you know?
Yeah, and he gets an hour jump on, or at least 45-minute jump on the people.
And, you know, he's even said little things and bits. He goes, as you know, all of my staff came down here with me and found a home here in Los Angeles and stuff. And everyone's like, oh, because they realized it wasn't just Conan that moved there. It was like everybody, his writers, his whole staff, everything. And now, I mean, it just sucks. And I don't know. It just really sucks. But we'll close out the news with this one last thing of Letterman pretty much telling you right now how he feels about Jay, and it's pretty funny. This is great. Let's just check this out.
Now, this thing going on at NBC, here's... And I think I have a right, because Paul and I are tangentially involved in this circumstance. We went through our own version of this 17, 18 years ago, whenever that was.
Whenever.
There's two people, the two principals involved here as I see it. One is Jay Leno, and as we know from watching Jay on the Tonight Show over all these years, he's a humanitarian and a man of the people. And he will... I can't tell you how many times I've picked up the newspaper and seen where Jay has stopped at the side of the road to help somebody refuel their car or change a tire.
Yeah.
And he's a guy who cares about people. So whatever happens, he will, of course, do the right thing. He will probably, if I had to bet, will step aside and let Conan continue as the host of The Tonight Show. That's my... Because that's the kind of guy he is.
Yeah.
Putting others first.
Yes.
Jay is getting a lot of negative publicity, so he has released now a message reminding people of what he, Jay Leno, stands for. We have a copy of it here. I think you'll find it enlightening. Take a look.
Jay Leno is Middle America. He represents traditional American values, the things this country was built on, like killing Indians because you want their land. Jay Leno. America's standing up for Jay.
That's right.
Awesome. So it's looking like next week will be Conan's last week, is what everyone's speculating, because this weekend they'll find a way to buy out his contract. I was hoping that they would just, you know, whatever would happen, that he would keep the Tonight Show, but I don't know. I guess that's not going to happen. Really sucks. Bill, how do you feel about doing the DVDs? You want me to do them?
No, you know, there really aren't that many, so I can do them.
All right, well, let's do some...
DVDs.
Yeah, let's do some DVDs! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs!
DVDs! HD Blu-ray standard definition! DVDs! Woohoo! The DVDs, everybody!
I'm really glad that you're so impressed with yourself.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, now, we got a phone call during the DVD song. Can I help you? You're on Nowhere in Mulberry.
Hello. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Oh, hello. Hello there.
I just wanted to... say thank you for your information about the Conan ordeal. I love Conan O'Brien. He's so funny. Jay Leno's a total blowhole, and just such a shame that this has to happen. I love Conan at 11, or, well, I'm in Central Time Zone, so 10:35 for me, but it's just such a shame and such BS. And if Jay Leno had any, you know, class, which doesn't sound like he has any, he would just, you know, step aside, but doesn't sound like that's going to happen. So
no,
I just wanted to call in, show my support for Conan O'Brien. There's some kind of weird internet petition going around. You can find that through some Facebook link. So just sign it, keep Conan on the air and support him. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, thank you. Thank you for calling in. And what's your name, young lady?
I got nothing. I got to go fight.
Well, thank you very much.
Anonymous.
Anonymous phone call there, Bill. I saw something on TV Squad about that Team Coco shirt. Have you seen that? Where it's just kind of portrait. Kind of like the Obama thing. And there was something on TV Squad last night I saw where they were, if you buy the t-shirt, it goes to Haitian relief.
Yeah.
Haitian earthquake relief. That's awesome. I'd love to have that shirt.
Oh, Team Coco?
Team Coco. But thank you very much for your phone call, Mystery Woman.
With a very familiar voice.
Now, okay, Bill, unless we get another phone call at 818-935-5132, let's do some DVDs, shall we?
All right. DVDs and Blu-rays for Tuesday, January 19th, 2010, starting with, how about 21 Jump Street, the complete first season?
Oh, hell yeah, love me some 21 Jump Street.
21 Jump Street.
Jump!
That was a great theme.
Down on Jump Street.
See, never has a show dealt with so many topics in such a great way.
Yeah, you know, I seem to remember an episode where, wasn't it Johnny Depp slapping the shit out of some kid? Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Ooh, breaking my heart.
Yeah, it was that kid.
Blowing in your buddies.
No, we never did that. I don't know what you're talking about.
I still have no idea what blowing in your buddies means.
That stinks!
Well, it does stink. But you know what? That show, when it was on Fox and it premiered, I watched it all the time. I loved it.
10cc really? Is trying to white speedballing with Pure Flake.
And I've talked about this, I don't know how many episodes I've talked about this on, Steven, where there was an episode where Johnny Depp, he was Tom Hanson, right? His girlfriend is gunned down in a liquor store.
Right.
There was like 3 seconds that he could have saved her life, but he froze. He's obsessed with 3 seconds that whole episode. And it's all about what he can do in 3 seconds. Like put on his shoes, take off his pants, and stuff like that. It was a really good...
To do that when I go home, to see what it takes.
That's hard hitting.
It was. He was very upset over that. You know what I'm saying? That shit was deep.
See how long it takes me to go for my gun and
what, Steven? What are you talking about? Going for?
I'm gonna
gun?
Have to count how long it's gonna take me to fall asleep after this.
Oh dear,
3 seconds.
Probably not long.
Oh,
no, I'm not saying I'm bored. I'm just saying I'm tired.
That stinks.
All right, Blu-rays. They're releasing the Bourne trilogy on Blu-ray, but it's that new DVD / Blu-ray flipper.
I'm not a fan of that. Not
I hate
fan.
Flippers. I want the movie in on Blu-ray and that's it. I don't need a DVD
because
on the other side.
We
okay?
went through this shit with HD DVD, Bill, and I hated those things.
Same studio too, Universal.
Hey, you don't have to own a Blu-ray player. Buy this. That way, when you get a Blu-ray player in 5 years, you'll already have a disc. No, because the people who now have Blu-ray players, they have a shitty standard def side that can get all scratched up and look like crap. No, no thank
you. You always have to be careful when you put it away to make sure the Blu-ray side is pointed down. It's just a pain in the ass.
Totally. Hate it. But I do love those movies, though.
Yeah, they are. Well, at least Well, the first one's hit and miss, but I really do like the Paul Greengrass directed ones. The Supremacy
first,
and Ultimatum.
The first one is, it's Doug Liman, I believe.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good setup, I guess, but the Greengrass ones are so much better. And you know what? I do love Greengrass shaky cam. I don't care what anyone says. You know what I'm saying?
I think Greengrass is an incredible director who, it's called Bloody Sunday.
Right, yeah. It's a very disturbing film, by the way.
Yeah, terrific film, though.
Spit up!
Exactly. Spit up.
All right, next DVD and Blu-ray is Che, the Soderbergh 4-hour opus about Che Guevara, starring Wolfman, or Dog Boy. The hell's his name? Benicio del Toro.
Oh, yeah, he is the Wolfman.
Yeah, it's on.
Yeah, and he was Dog Boy in Big Top Pee Wee.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Wow, how old was he when he did that?
Oh, he was young.
Man.
But, yeah, he was.
The first movie I remember seeing and being aware of Benicio del Toro was The Usual Suspects.
Usual Suspects, yeah.
Yeah, that's the first time I ever, knew of his existence, basically.
I watched Che Part 1 last year and was bored out of my mind, so I can't even imagine 261 minutes of this movie.
Sure was an unusual concoction or whatever it was.
Yeah, I tried watching it the other night. It's on, like I said, Sundance or IFC. I can't remember which one of those two channels, but it was all 4 hours on.
It's 4.5 hours.
Steven Soderbergh, he's one of those, I think he's very talented filmmaker. Sometimes he does subjects that I'm just not interested in seeing.
Well, what his problem is he's incredibly self-indulgent. Like, he thinks he's, making some important art piece, and it really isn't.
Well, it might be to somebody, just not me. Like, I remember he did that movie that I think a lot of critics loved it and won awards, Traffic. I thought it was disturbing, and I never want to see that shit again as long as
I
live.
I watched it once. That was enough for me.
Yeah, I don't want to watch that again.
Bye-bye!
Yeah, but I love some of his other films, Sex, Lies, Videotape, Out of Sight with Clooney.
I love Out of Sight. I think it's one of the most fun movies.
Out of Sight!
And I hate Jennifer Lopez, but I don't mind her in that movie at all.
No, she's great in that.
In fact, she's kind of hot.
She's great in that film. Awesome. Yeah. Oh, wait, right. Bill.
What? Hey, buddy, it's Greg.
Yo.
Just wanted to let you know, I just got a call from Mary today.
Yeah, there. We got a call from Mary today.
What about the rest of the phone call?
I hung up on.
All right. Moving on. It's not on DVD or on Blu-ray, but it is on DVD. Damages, the complete second season. One of the best shows on television.
Yeah, you really like that, don't you? I've always meant to watch season one on Blu-ray.
Damages is an amazing show. The second season, not as good as the first season, but still very good.
I want you to hold it between your knees.
No, thanks.
What, the Blu-ray or
the chicken? Next DVD is Defying Gravity, the complete first season. I don't know why they're calling it the complete first season. It should be the complete series.
Yeah, wasn't it canceled?
Yeah.
This was the ABC show. I was like, oh, it's cool. It's a space show or whatever. I recorded it the first 2-hour premiere or something. And I never watched it, and I deleted it.
Yeah, it was Grey's Anatomy in space.
Good Lord, man. I don't want to see that.
Yeah, and my dad started to watch it on Hulu, and he started to really enjoy it, but
we watched Virtuality on Fox, the pilot.
God,
we
that
really.
Was, oh, man, I wish that show would come back.
We really liked it, the concept and everything, and then Defying Gravity comes on ABC, and it just I want to watch the other show. I don't want to watch
that. Yeah, it's a pale imitation.
Right.
Not on my watch.
All right. Next DVD is a set that I know a lot of people are going to want. Dwarf, the Superfan Collection.
Dwarf. He's
I remember
on
watching
shoes.
Dwarf on Golf with my dad when I was a little kid and thinking it was hilarious.
Oh my god, it's so
I
bad.
Know.
Oh, Dwarf. Wow, that shit is comedy gold, man.
I can't believe there's 8 of them. I had no idea
Holy
there was
crap.
8 dwarfs.
Much love.
Wow. Tim Conway. I love Tim Conway, but man, the dwarf shit. Yeah. Wow. Am I right, Steven?
Ah, dwarf.
No
it
shit.
It wasn't, what the hell was that guy's name that was the teacher in Fast Times at Ridgemont High? He was in Buckaroo Banzai.
Ray something. Mr. Hand?
No, Vincent something.
Oh, Vincent
Schiavelli.
Schiavelli, yeah.
Yeah, he was in it as the caddy. It just, I think that's who I laughed at the most.
That guy was crazy looking.
He's creepy.
He's one of those people from Fringe this week.
Well, he had that Marfan syndrome, that weird genetic disorder.
He did?
I think that's even what he died from.
Oh, man.
It has something to do with the breakdown of connective tissue and stuff, so it doesn't sound fun. It, like your muscles atrophy and shit.
Well, remember he wouldn't let anyone on his train either?
Get off my train! but he also taught Patrick Swayze how to kick a can.
That's true.
That's such a slap can. In the face, a
just
sign
like
of disrespect.
Scatman did. Scatman and Vincent Schiavelli. Kick the can.
Kick the can.
Where's Pancake's house?
Where is Pancake's house?
Where's Pancake's house?
Is there a big fat guy
You know what's funny is I watched that original, I was flipping through the channels the other night, and the original Twilight Zone episode of that Kick the Can was on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was so weird to see the original episode.
Hey, do you guys remember when they did the new Twilight Zone?
With Forrest Whitaker?
Yeah.
What episode was that?
No, he was the host.
He was the host.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
His lazy eye was the thing that...
God, when was that?
What are you guys talking about? I don't remember Forrest Whitaker on there.
Yeah.
They didn't have a host. Yeah. It just was a show.
No, there was a... Forrest Whitaker introduced it.
You know what? I think you're talking about the second incarnation, and we're talking about the third incarnation.
Oh, I'm talking about in the 80s, man.
There was a new one in the 80s right after the movie came out, but then they did one on UPN.
I didn't watch UPN.
That he hosted.
Yeah, they did one. Yeah, it's like UPN that he hosted it.
Terrible idea. We all admit that.
Yeah, it was the second revival.
No, I don't know what you guys are talking about. See, I watched the 80s one. That's what I'm talking about. Remember there's an episode...
Oh, come on. The lazy eye of Forrest Whitaker was just so mesmerizing and scary.
You know, I genuinely think he's a good actor. What happened to him?
I was trying to...
He's a good actor who does shit.
Ever since he made that, was it King of Scotland movie? Then he did that horrible Vantage Point crap. Oh, my
God. I love Ghost Dog.
I have had just about enough of your nonsense.
I was watching one of those Twilight Zones, The Cruel Intentions. Who's the kid in that? The blonde-headed, curly-headed kid?
Ryan Phillippe.
Yeah, he was in it.
He was?
In a Twilight Zone, one of the newer ones.
Nice.
And it was kind of one of these mind control...
You know what my favorite is? They did the new Outer Limits, too. And Will Wheaton was on a lot of those.
Yeah.
It cracked me up because every episode he was some kind of bungling spaceman who caused some kind of destruction of mankind or something.
Wasn't there a version of the Outer Limits that was on Showtime?
Yes. They did.
And
like
I remember there was one episode in particular where Alyssa Milano went topless.
Really?
That sucker, I wore that VHS tape out.
What? What do you mean?
Yeah.
What do you mean, Bill?
I have to explain? I'm not explaining my private moments.
I remember Bo Bridges in an episode where these weird little...
Ants. Yeah. Like, they're not ants, but they're bigger.
Intelligent alien-type
miniature. Yeah, he had that... They created that, that big box out in his barn.
What was that called? Something Kings or... Gosh, never mind. whatever, stopping down the show.
But it's like they can't climb over that little one-foot glass wall.
Yeah, that was cool. I wonder if that was based on a Clifford Simak novel or whatever.
I bet you a lot of that stuff was.
Yeah, that guy.
And they just mine his stuff because no one knows him.
Yeah, he's a genius. I have a little short book of Clifford Simak stuff, and I loved it. There's so much character to his stories.
I have a couple of them. Whenever you told me to get it, that Over the River and Through the Woods or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I have one book that he did called Mastodon and another one called The Way Station that I got mainly because it made me think of The Gunslinger.
Yeah, he does great stories with aliens and stuff and alternate dimensions and clones and stuff. It's awesome.
Way ahead of his time.
Yeah, he wrote this shit like in the 40s, 50s, 60s. It's awesome. The guy was prolific. You know what I'm saying, Steven? Mm-hmm. Oh, Steven.
Hey, buddy, it's Greg.
Yo.
Hey. I just wanted to let you know I just got a call from Mary today.
Mary called you, Steven. So.
All right, next DVD and Blu-ray, Gamer.
Oh.
What the hell's his name?
Gerard Butler.
Gerard Butler, sorry, yeah.
Slow clap. Gamer. Wow.
What really makes this movie is that it's got Chris Ludacris Bridges in it.
Oh, hell yeah. Not to be confused with what, Steven? Sugar Crisp. But you know what? Also, Dexter's in the movie. He is. And we just found out that he has cancer, right?
A Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Right.
Supposedly, they caught it early and it's totally treatable, but that stuff never really goes away.
Yeah, I hope he's okay.
I mean, it can go into remission, but it can always come back.
Very talented actor. I hope he's okay.
So do I. I think Mario Lemieux was diagnosed with that.
Right.
You know, what, like 20, 30 years ago?
Yeah, he fought
and he's still around, so.
He's good, yeah.
Yeah.
And what about Gamer? Did that get good reviews? Or
no, it got horrible reviews.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
I think it's from the guys that did Saw, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah. Neville Dinn and Taylor or whatever. Some of the Saw movies, the last sequels or whatever, I don't know. But I'm gonna rent it. I gotta see how horrible it is.
Hell yeah, I gotta check that out. Anything that has to do with some dude in a video game or something. I mean, you gotta check it out. Am I right, Steven?
It looks so stupid. I just have to watch it.
Totally,
all right.
Totally.
I'm definitely picking this next one up. Hunter, the complete first season on DVD.
Oh, yeah. Hunter and Dee Dee McCall. My first love, Dee Dee McCall.
Brass ball? Brass cupcake something? They called her something. I can't remember.
I don't remember.
But I do remember the theme.
And then it had the part that goes.
Every 80s theme had to have that moment. I mean, A-Team had it. MacGyver had it.
Oh, it was awesome. That was when NBC, man, they just all quality programs, right?
Yeah, it really. I would love to see what the lineup was. Maybe it's on Wikipedia, but I remember watching Hunter and Law and Order. Or not Law and Order, but L.A. Law.
Right. Dun, 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 dun.
Another great theme. So many great themes of the 80s.
Stop at Pancake's House.
That was a great show, too. Pancake's House, remember
we
that?
We should call Pancake before we stop, though.
I think, wasn't Gavin McLeod the star of that show, I think?
Pancake's House? Yeah. That was on After Mama's Family.
And Don Knotts is on there, too, I think, sometimes. He's the horny neighbor.
Where's Pancake's House?
Huh?
I don't know. Check the GPS.
I want you to hold it between your knees.
Okay.
The GPS?
Or the pancakes. We're not sure about
okay.
that. Give us some kind of sign on what to do.
You see this sign?
Oh, Jesus. I'm sorry. My God.
All right. Next DVD and Blu-ray, The Invention of Lying with Ricky Gervais.
Oh, so they show you how lying first was created or something?
I guess.
It's a world where no one ever lied before, and he supposedly invented the first lie.
Oh, nice.
They you know, said it's what you think.
I really tend to enjoy Ricky Gervais. I liked his the original Office and all that. I thought the show he did, Extras, was pretty funny. But this movie has the one thing that would stop me from watching it, and that's Jonah Hill. So I'm sorry, but I'm just not going to have to watch it.
What is he doing in that? Why is he in
that? He's in everything. He's the next Michael Caine.
He's fucking shit.
Jonah Hill's the next Michael Caine?
He'll be in everything. Michael Caine's in every movie.
Now, I believe his name's pronounced Cookie Jervis, right?
Cookie Jarvis?
Yes, Cookie Jervis. Ricky Gervais, Kirky Jervis.
Jerky Jervis?
Yes, you all have to leave. I'm not taking any more of your smartness and sarcasm.
Oh, sorry. Jeez.
All right. On Blu-ray, we have Paul Thomas Anderson's Magnolia, one of my all-time favorite movies, even though a lot of people say it's pretentious and overlong, but I love it no matter what.
I'll check it out. I know my dad loved it, and he told me to see it, and I've never seen it yet. Bill or Steven, can you guys believe
that? It's very good. It's very deep. It's one of those movies you have to think about to try to figure out. Like, the ending is so far-fetched.
As long as it's a movie that makes you think, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you just have to think how the ending fits into the entire film and why it's there. It's a lot of people get so caught up on the raining frogs thing that they don't truly think about why he did it. So
You know, when I told my dad that I knew about that part, he got really upset. He said I shouldn't have known that part, that it kind of ruins the movie. Is that true?
No, I don't think it ruins the movie at all. In fact, it puts the movie into perspective, everything that you had seen. So it's one of my all-time favorites.
Won't I watch the movie just waiting for that part, though?
No, because you get so caught up in the storytelling.
Okay.
I mean, you will expect it, but that's not – once you learn the story or, you know, and then it comes, you kind of understand why it happens.
And I won't know when it's going to happen either.
No, you won't.
But I don't want to, like, sit there and be like, when is that part going to happen?
When's the frogs coming?
Right. I mean, is that a spoiler or is it not?
No, not at all. Not at all. Because the frogs were part of the advertising campaign. I have a poster where the frog is sitting on one of the on a traffic light with the flower. Oh. So I mean, it was part of the advertising campaign.
Okay.
Yeah. Jesus.
What? Okay.
All right. Next Blu-ray and DVD: Pandorum, sci-fi movie with Ben Foster.
This is
and,
the Avatar movie, or?
Say again?
Avatar?
Pandorum.
Pandorum.
That's where they're from, Steven.
No, Pandora.
No.
Oh, that's neat. It's going to be 3D.
Yeah, I remember this.
We're going to get that in there.
Pandorum with Dennis Quaid. Hey, Quaid!
Yeah, I watched this last week.
Oh, is it awesome?
No.
Oh.
It's promising, and then it goes to shit. And I was like, man, I wonder why this movie could have been good and then it went to shit. And it's one of the producers is Paul W.S. Anderson.
Oh.
Well, goddamn.
Exactly. God.
Stupid Laka.
Leave your taint off these movies, dude. Jesus.
He's always putting his taint on them. He needs to stop squatting on movies.
He needs to stop putting his malakas on things. Oh, you know what was so funny is I just remembered something because of this conversation is Zachary Levi from Chuck was on Conan this week. Did you see him on there where he's talking about being on Xbox Live?
No.
He's talking about getting his ass kicked by little kids and then being teabagged. And Conan was just like, and they kind of like just changed the subject immediately, but it was hilarious. He was like, what? Teabagged? And it was just funny how they just changed the subject quickly.
Sounds like someone was playing Halo 3.
Yeah, totally.
They love doing that shit. That annoys me so much.
And it's true. You know, when you first play Xbox and you're like, hey, I'm playing with people, you know, in other parts of the world. Yeah, but everyone in any country who's playing video games is an asshole. So
yeah,
it's not that they kind of ruin it for you.
Aggravate my nerves.
You have to keep it to only your friends.
Right, totally.
And, but even then, your friends can be assholes.
I've been laughed at by little kids in games. That, like, Call of Duty demo that came out, I was playing it, and I sucked. They go, there's some guy, he's got, like, one kill on here. And I'm like, I can hear you, it's me. And they're like, ah, it's like, I've never played this before.
I remember when we were playing Battlefield, Bad Company, and we would be running around trying to kill somebody, and there's these kids laughing at us. It was so infuriating.
It's yeah, it is. And it's just like, little bastard. You know, I'd knock the shit out of you in real life, little brat.
All right, next DVD and Blu-ray is Smokin' Aces 2.
I beg your pardon?
What?
Yeah. Direct-to-video, directed by the direct-to-video king of the past few years, P.J. Pesce, P-E-S-C-E, I assume that's Pesce.
So is this the movie that demanded a sequel?
I guess so. It's got Vinnie Jones in it, Tom Berenger, Tommy Flanagan. That's a big cast.
Very good.
I love Tommy Flanagan, though. He takes all those kind of, like, bit roles and stuff, too.
Well, he was in the first one, right? He was the main assassin guy, the... that everybody was wondering about.
I you know, it's kind of sad. I usually have a good memory about movies, but I don't remember. I don't.
Well, Smokin' Aces wasn't exactly the...
I watched that on HD DVD, like a Netflix rental, a long time ago.
But just as an example of other films that this P.J. Pesce has directed, Lost Boys, The Tribe, Sniper 3.
Whoa.
From Dusk Till Dawn 3. I mean, come on, dude. Really?
You're a moron!
Really?
From Dusk Till Dawn, how many sequels were there to that? Three? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull your endocrine system out of your body.
Oh, God, I love that.
Sometimes I wonder how companies get away with cover art on their DVDs. There's one for this thing called Nazi Hunters, The Real Story, and the cover art looks exactly like the cover art for Inglourious Basterds.
Nice.
But it's this documentary about the real-life soldiers that searched for Eichmann and Mengele and other Nazis across Europe. But just the cover art just made me laugh, like, wow, that's subtle.
All right.
This one's for you. Renegade, the complete first season.
Terrible idea. We all admit that.
Awesome.
Oh, God.
That's for any guy who likes flowing long hair and motorcycles, right?
Oh, my God.
And
Renegade
is inherently...
The cover's so funny.
Lorenzo Lamas is just so into himself, isn't he?
Yeah, I love the... He's got this blanket tied onto the front of his bike. I was like, what? I guess maybe that's what he uses to camp out, or
yeah,
it's his poncho.
He, what I think that was, like, part of the story is that he was narcoleptic. And he would have to take naps frequently.
He would fall asleep while riding the bike, and the blanket would roll out underneath him.
Right.
Stop at Pancake's House.
Oh, yeah. He would also stop at Pancake's House with his Indian buddy who lived in the RV a lot. Or Native American. I'm so sorry, Steven.
Indian buddy.
Where is Pancake's House?
Wait, you're not Native American, Steven. Why am I apologizing to you? You got a little bit in you, right? You got any in you?
Probably.
Probably? You don't know for sure?
Do I know
for
sure?
Glad that you're so impressed with yourself.
Whoa!
All right, and last DVD and Blu-ray is Whiteout.
Oh! What's that?
The film behind the story of the creation of Whiteout.
Oh, Liquid Paper, the movie! Awesome.
Yeah, Liquid Paper, the movie.
Hey, buddy, it's Greg.
Yo.
Just wanted to let you know I just got a call from Mary today.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
no, it's Kate Beckinsale, right?
Yeah, but this is still about the Liquid Paper, right?
Right. She's the scientist who created it, right? In the
And she created it in Antarctica, I guess.
Right. Because that's how it's like accidentally spilled chemicals and it formed liquid paper, I think.
Well, she kept making mistakes and they didn't have paper because they could only get so many shipments. So in order to correct that, she created liquid paper so that she could cover over the mistakes and just use the same piece of paper.
I want you to hold it between your knees.
What does that even mean?
Here's a little piece of trivia. Dominic Cena is the director of Whiteout.
Oh, I love that hack director. He does a lot of those action straight to
DVDs. Isn't it sad that since California, he hasn't done anything decent?
Yeah, that was a great movie. I said whenever. Well, it's probably has a lot to do with Brad Pitt, but that movie is very watchable.
And
he started.
Shit,
I think he started doing
David Duchovny.
He started doing Christopher Lambert straight to DVD movies after that. I think.
Yeah, I think he then went to like Gone in 60 Seconds and Swordfish.
Oh my God, so bad. I have such a problem with Gone in 60 Seconds. I won't go on like
Gone in 60 Seconds is quite possibly one of the most painful films ever.
Well, I don't understand it. They spent all this time stealing all these cars and then they just kill the bad guy at the end. Just kill him to begin with and you don't have to steal cars.
Well, you know what's funny is the bad guy is my favorite Doctor Who, Christopher Eccleston.
That's right. And it's so silly. He doesn't want to honor the deal at the end, so they run around and then he gets killed. So
yeah, there's like a fight in a warehouse.
Just don't
or something.
Go steal the cars, dude. Don't
the part
go
that cracks me up is whenever he steals the car that he could never get.
Eleanor.
Eleanor.
He jumps some truck off of, like, on a bridge.
Right.
And it looks so fake. Like, that car could have totally jumped.
And you know what sucks is the original Gone in 60 Seconds, it's a different kind of Mustang. It's like this yellow. I can't remember what kind, but it's
like the old fastback or something.
It was really beautiful, and they changed it to the silver job, and it's just like, no, I don't think so. And you know what? The original Gone in 60 Seconds, while, don't get me wrong, it's a horrible movie. Like, it's all narrative.
It's pretty much just a grindhouse film.
It's scenes of people with narration over it. It's really bad.
Yeah.
But the whole chase scene at the end is awesome. So that's the reason to watch it. And then Gone in 60 Seconds, you know, let's put some CGI in here. Let's have Angelina Jolie as a character named Sway, who looks like she just got out of rehab for shooting up heroin.
I'd still totally do her.
She looks horrible in that movie. The movie's so bad. And I don't understand why they made it.
Well, you know what scares me is I was kind of looking forward to that season of The Witch, the Nicolas Cage, Ron Perlman movie where it's like takes place during like the 14th century, like medieval shit. And then I read that Dominic Cena was the one that directed it. And I was like, shit.
You know, he does very watchable shit, though. You know what I mean?
How to get burned?
Hey, did he direct The Wicker Man? No, that was
That was
Neil,
the guy that did all the indie films. That
I just had his name. Wasn't it Neil something?
Neil LaBute.
Yeah,
LaBute.
Neil LaBute, I think.
Maybe he's Canadian. LaBute.
LaBute.
Neil LaBute. No, it's Neil LaBute.
Yeah, it was so weird because he said it's like the Company of Men and Your Friends and Neighbors, these really dark relationship movies.
I hate all of his movies, honestly. I haven't seen a single movie that I don't want to blow my brains out. Including
Nurse Betty was so painful to get through.
Including Nurse Betty. I wanted to blow my brains out watching Nurse
Betty.
Oh, and
I watched that Lakeview Terrace on Showtime one night. Oh,
what a horrible movie. Did he direct that too?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's a Neil LaBute, not a fan. Sorry.
No, he's bad. Bad, bad, bad.
Would you like to talk to the manager?
Yes, I would.
Nope. But I would like to end DVDs. That's DVDs for this week.
I want my money back, bitch. All right, Bill, thank you for doing the DVDs. You did a very good job.
Well, thank you.
And I hope you feel better.
Me too, man. Oh,
poor guy. You know what you
it's
need
It's really
do?
Just my throat at this point, you know.
Get a bottle of whiskey,
slight digestion, a little lump in my throat, but it's just so sore.
I want you to put a bunch of herbs in a bottle of whiskey and drink it.
Is it marijuana?
Yeah, just start drinking it, Bill.
Drink it.
What's that guy's name? I love that guy.
Drink it.
I love that, yeah. I love that whole scene in that movie. Awesome.
That's definitely is such a great
damn.
All right, everybody, that was DVDs.
I don't know what else to say.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And see.
Bongos, man. Wailing on those things.
It's like bongo rock.
God damn.
All right, everybody. That was episode 188 of Nowhere in Mulberry. And I'd like to wish a happy birthday to my pa, my dad, who is old today. And I don't know his exact age. I'm 60 something.
No.
Yeah, really? Totally. Yeah. 60. Oh, man. I meant to call my dad tonight, Bill, but I know you're really tired and stuff, so I don't think I'll put you through that. Yeah. Wish my dad a happy birthday. All right. Happy birthday,
happy
Dad.
Happy birthday.
And
happy birthday.
I'd like to invite everyone to go to nowhereinmulberry.com, where you'll find links to Mulberry Old School. It's going and gone, so you better be careful and not wait too long, or you'll miss out on all those classic episodes. Am I right? In
That's
the
right.
Mulberry Vault, Stephen. We have a giant vault here on the premises. We're going to lock them all away.
Produced earlier with me out of breath walking between terminals.
We're going to have every episode on a 32 gigabyte SD card and put it into a giant vault. And
yes,
it'll be locked away.
It's going into the Disney vault.
It'll be gone forever, everyone. They'll have to, Martin Scorsese will have to restore them
what
later.
What we'll do is that we'll bury it in the Mulberry time capsule
for people to
the
find
the time
later.
Tube.
You're right. Now, I want you to call and leave us a voicemail at 1206-202-3491. Also, send us an email or an MP3 voicemail at nimpodcast@gmail.com.
Or anything you'd like buried in the time capsule.
Yes, in the time capsule, right.
No human waste, though.
No.
What?
I have no idea where that came from.
Yikes, I'm kind of scared.
My tired mind
like to talk
thinking
to the
about Pootie.
Pootie?
Poodoo.
You know what I'm thinking about?
Marijuana, like this.
No, I'm not thinking about that.
House. That's what
yes, it's liquid marijuana, you dumb cop.
Is this some kind of liquid marijuana? What is he talking about?
It's marijuana tea.
Where's Pancake's house?
I love that.
Stop at Pancake's house.
I wonder if Peter Stormare actually, like, said to the Coens, do I call it, like, Pancake House, or do I refer to it like it's a person, like Pancake's House?
Yeah.
Like, I'd love to know the decision behind that. It's genius.
In the script, did it say IHOP, but, hey, we can't say IHOP, so just, you know, whatever, come up with something. And action.
Where's Pancake's House?
Ah, perfect!
I would have bust. I don't know how Buscemi kept it together. I would have cracked up.
Yeah, Jesus.
I love Steve Buscemi. Still, until he started appearing in all the Adam Sandler movies. It's like, what the hell were you thinking? No, but he is hilarious in The Wedding Singer.
Best guitar player in the world.
Yeah.
I love him singing at the end.
Yeah. He's singing True. Yeah.
Spandau Ballet.
Yeah, that I like The Wedding Singer. That's a great movie.
He was good in Billy Madison too. On the psycho that puts the makeup on after he talks to Billy Madison and then snipes people.
Since he calls and he goes, I was really mean to you in high school, man. I just wanted to apologize. He's like, well, thank you. And then he scratches him off the list.
Off the hit list.
Yeah.
Yeah, he goes, yeah, he shoots the bad guy, and then at the end, Adam Sandler goes, God, I'm glad I called that guy, because he's psychotic, and he's got a sniper rifle. And then he was a bum in that Big Daddy movie, remember?
Oh, God, that movie is so unbearable.
Best guitar player in the world!
Yeah.
And then that kid has his own show now on Disney.
Those kids.
They're twins on...
I think it was like The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, and now it's like Zack and Cody on a boat, or... Don't ask me how I know this.
Yeah, why do you know that?
I'm really glad that you're so impressed with yourself.
You know, I see the commercials during iCarly, which I love to watch,
no,
by the way.
Hey, that's a wrong channel, buddy. That's Nickelodeon.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
We caught you, Bill. He won.
Damn!
Hey, I
thought iCarly was a Disney show.
No, that's a Nickelodeon. But we do watch Special Agent Otso and Mickey Mouse Clubhouse on Disney.
They still have Mickey Mouse Clubhouse?
Yeah, the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. And it's computer
animated. Oh, I'm thinking of
the Mickey Mouse Club.
Come on, man.
All right, I'm done talking.
Okay, sorry, Bill. Everybody, we'll see you next week, and God, let's hope that Bill feels better, right?
Get some rest,
I should.
And let's hope
if I don't, I'll be in the hospital.
Give you some juice.
Oh, my God.
And some,
remember, drink some of that Mama Juana, I think it's called, right?
Mama Juana?
Yeah, Mama Juana. Wasn't that what it's called? Didn't the guy
well, Steven Seagal wants it.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
I think they called that because Mama Juana. You know what I'm saying?
No, I think Marijuana, they. I think only like Herb, Herb makes that.
Herb.
Marijuana, like this?
No, dude, it's not marijuana. It's Mama Juana.
It was an unusual concoction or whatever it was.
It must be really easy to become a cop in Jefferson Parish.
Well,
I mean, like really easy.
You certainly don't have to be in shape.
No, you don't. So I'm in. I'm good to go.
All right, everybody. See you next week.
Yes, you all have to leave. I'm not taking any more of your smartness and sarcasm.
Oh, sorry.
Would you like to talk to the manager? Only what's on the menu. I don't make the rules.
Enough of your nonsense.
Now this is podcasting.
I don't think so.
Dun 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 dun.